United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, Hey, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it's Friday, guys. Isn't that a good thing? It is Friday, and I'm glad to see that. It's Open Mic Friday, and I'm here home alone. The number is 347-945-5229. Want to hear what you have to say today. Got some things that's on my mind. And want to the sun is shining, so, you know, I miss my happy song, but we will be doing other stuff instead of happy because I've decided that I'm going to keep my word and I'm not going to play happy until it's a gloomy day since everybody's tired of me playing happy. The number is 347-945-5229. And if anybody can tell me, because I'm not quite sure, why are gas prices creeping up like by nickels and dimes overnight? Seriously, I don't know what the gas prices are in your neighborhood, but here it went from $2.61 last night, and I got home, about 9:30. I was at the gas station, and by the time I woke up this morning, on my way in, it was $2.69, and it's been doing this. I mean, you know, because I'm not a gas pumper. I don't like pumping gas. I think it's a bad thing. And, you know, I go to the gas station and I wait until, you know, the last minute because I don't like pumping gas. I think it is not a woman's job. And I went to the gas station last night and it was $2.61. And then I woke up this morning and it was $2.69, I think it is. And then day before yesterday, it was, I think, $2.59 or $2.57, and then earlier that day was $2.51, and I'm watching this thing creep up and it's flying up, and can anybody please just tell me, because I am so confused, why in the world is gas going up like this? So, hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Hey, how you doing, Alabama? Good morning.
What's going on? I tried to call you yesterday because, you know, I've been reading that book, right?
What book?
Sundown Towns. I've been reading through it.
Yeah.
And, I didn't know Youngstown made the list. Youngstown was, you guys had a riot up there in 1917. They tried to get rid of the black population in Youngstown. I didn't know they even attempted this. So, and I'm sure they don't tell you that in Ohio history when you're in the fourth grade or whatever grade they give you the state history. But I just found it interesting. A lot of parts of Ohio, Springfield, they had one so bad in Springfield that they would call, usually if they had another ride, the word would give them Springfield, as if to say, do what they did in Springfield. You know, wherever Abraham Lincoln's from, they ran a lot of them out. I'm just reading through it, and I just found it interesting. I ain't mean to call and put a damper on the day, but as far as gas, they do that because of the futures. They're saying, okay, when we have to buy gas to refill, we're going to have to compensate. So this is why, even though we have gas now, we're going to have to compensate for the price going up, so we're getting that out of you. That's
Hold
why
on.
they paying.
I'm a broke black girl. I can't afford $80 to fill up my little truck.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, I mean, let me put it like this. The people that can afford it, a lot of times they didn't vote for Barack Obama, didn't vote for some of the things that, some of the moves that he's making. Our gas could be lower, but, I mean, we're doing things with Syrians, giving Al-Qaeda missiles and stuff, helping them fight certain things. I mean, hey, it is what it is. I mean, we're working with Al-Qaeda, the organization we're supposed to get rid of, so.
I can't be working with Al-Qaeda.
Well, that's what it is. So what you think about the riot, though? What you think about the riots y'all had in 19? You ever heard of that?
No, I have not. I had no idea. I know
there
was a riot.
A lot of these suburbs are strictly Caucasian. If you go back and look at their founding, a lot of times they made it public knowledge up until like the 1968. No niggers. We don't have niggers. It's none of this, none of that. No Jews, no niggers. They advertised it. So It was real rampant. And I'm really realizing now why. And then what they would do with the education system, and I talked about that with property taxes and wealth and stuff like that, the education system would be better in the suburbs. A lot of funding would go in the suburb education system, whereas with the inner city, that's why it's so bad. Like, they pushed them in there, then they changed the education system so they couldn't really get out. And then now I'm reading in chapter 4, he's talking about the opportunities that are afforded by living in the suburbs, the relationships, the different opportunities that we're getting. You know, it's real interesting. I would love for that lawyer guy you have on there sometimes to call up and dispute what I'm saying, because I'm getting a little knowledge on it.
Listen, Youngstown, we didn't have a big suburb. No, we had rural areas. But our suburbs were country up until...
He's not specifying Youngstown. He said Youngstown had a riot.
I wouldn't be surprised about Youngstown having a riot, because we like to fight.
No. This was a riot specifically to get rid of and purge blacks. That's what it was.
In 19 what?
1917.
I did not know that.
Yes.
And I have to do some research on that.
So I know. What they did.
Yeah. Jeff, did you know that? Private caller? I thought that was Jeff. Eric, did you know that?
What
you
want?
I just came here. I didn't know. What was that about?
Alabama said he's reading a book called Sundown, and he was talking about there was a riot to get rid of black people
Sundown
in the suburbs.
Sundown Town. Go ahead.
And there was a riot in Youngstown back in 1917 to get rid of black people in the suburbs or in the city?
In the city of Youngstown, Ohio. Naming different enclaves where they tried to purge the blacks out of there. They succeeded in a lot of areas. You go back and look at the census in the 1800s and late 1800s, early 1900s, blacks were all over. And then they purged them, and they all ran into the city.
I didn't know that. I'm going to look into that.
Well, the thing he said in the book was that it's not something, if they succeeded, they'll act as though, we never had a black population. I mean, it's just all white. I mean, but if you go back and look at the census, a lot of times, a lot of these cities would have a higher population of African Americans, especially, black. After the slave civil war, they would move in these cities, and then they would get along, and then all of a sudden, when wealth starts to get generated and things like that, they purge them. They get them out of there. And that's why you don't have a lot of us owning beachfront property or prime real estate. It's just because they were forced out.
I wouldn't be surprised about that.
As I read the book, it's rampant. It wasn't, and that's what I thought with the book. The book is very thick. And so what I'm finding is rampant. And I would get in the book and I would be sucked in. Like, it just reads like somebody's talking to you. Like, it's real easy. It's a great read. Even though it's thick, I'm moving through the book pretty fast. And it's great. I mean, it's a lot of great information. He's naming cities that I never even heard of. Especially, he said Ohio. I mean, not Ohio. Illinois is pretty bad. Was pretty bad. Like, it was real bad. Like, Illinois is probably the worst state of all as far as sundown towns. Like, just about all their counties, give or take a few, have blacks. I mean, it was that back in, like, up until, like, 1980. Like, it was real bad. They really, and by doing that, now you look at Chicago through a different scope. I know I do. Because I look at Chicago, and I blame them. But, I mean, I still think people should be held responsible for their actions. But you're looking at people that's been denied certain resources and people. And then they sit, and then what the beautiful thing he's saying about it. But this has been by a white guy now. A white guy wrote the book. This isn't some black guy. Most of these people deny. They deny it. He has to go back and find old newspaper clippings and maybe a few historians that actually tell the truth. But most people, a lot of times, they try to lie about it.
When I go back and do some research, because I research the old papers, the chronicles, and the papers here from locally, I'm not surprised by any of that. Because as I said, you know, we talk about race a lot here. You know, we talk about, well, you just don't know what racism is. And I tell y'all, oh, but we do. We do. I mean, we don't. We say that. I'm serious about that. Racism is a son of a gun, and it has not gone away. I'm just saying. What I say is everybody's not racist. Some things are ignorant. Some things were the time. Some things would have gotten white people killed. And so,
hold on,
Alabama. So for survival's sake, for the sake of their own survival, they had to subscribe to the environment and the society that they were living in. Because they couldn't speak up if they wanted to live. And we fail to realize this. And let me also say this, and I think I said this before. And another thing is white people don't tell their great-grandchildren their history of what they did when they were younger.
That's it. I'm saying that those people have been immobilized. So why would they be racist now? I mean, this guy doesn't have anything to compete with you. He's not even – it's not like he's cross town taking your customers up. Competing with you for that job. This guy does. He came from a poor background. So of course, a lot of them don't feel like, well, I'm not even going to compete with it. And I ain't saying that competition brings out racism, but I mean, you know, those people back then, they felt like they had a reason to, because these were a hard-working group of people who basically were slaves and built this country, and you turn them loose, and all they saw was opportunity. They went out and tried to get that piece of the American dream. So that's what kind of changed the game for them. So I just, when I hear stuff like that, when I hear people say, oh, you're just making excuses and my grandfather did this. And your grandfather's not going to tell you, yeah, we strung a guy up.
But hold up, Alabama. You can't, when you talk to some of the people that you, and then you listen, that are on my show, Styx has been very, very transparent about his heritage and their view. Very transparent. But see, we where we live in Youngstown, it was more. If they were stringing up black folks, they were stringing up a whole lot of people, because Youngstown is a melting pot of ethnic people. And when I say that, you got Slovaks, Italians, Hungarians. That's what I'm saying. It's been like that for a very, very long time because of the steel mills. And during that time, they were migrating this way for the work, because there were jobs here.
No, he said they were unsuccessful because they couldn't. It was too many blacks,
let me,
and not all whites was
listen,
on their side.
Listen to what I'm saying. Remember, we are reading about black people, but what I'm saying is, at that time, an Italian was no better than a black person. He was only one step up. We realize that, right?
Well, they were at a certain time, 1917. They were starting to become integrated into the white.
Alabama. Listen, listen, Alabama. I live here. You don't understand the mills. The jobs in the mills were actually decided by your race, and depending on where you fell in the race, told you how much money you could make. You realize that.
Black, you worked in the coke plant. Yeah, when you was black,
absolutely.
You worked in the coke plant.
If you were Italian, you worked somewhere else. If you were a Slovak, you worked somewhere else. If you were Welsh, you worked somewhere else. The jobs in the mill were classified by your race. You walked in knowing what department you were going in by the color of your skin and what your ethnic background was. And this was all the way up until the 70s, if I'm not mistaken. So there wasn't no integration just because. What I'm saying is, I'm not trying to sugarcoat what you're saying, but what I'm saying is it's very, very real, and it's a history that is not talked about. But not all people felt that way. The number is 347-945-5229. Go ahead, Covina, man.
I think what Alabama was talking about is some real information, and I think that I'm glad he's learning stuff that, you know, most of us so-called pro-black people already know. I'm glad, you know, the knowledge is being spread. But the thing is, I think that it would benefit everyone, white people, black folks, if we understood where white people and black people were in proportion or relation to each other in a timeline sequence. So you can look at what was going on in 1920 was a very highly important year or decade for, you know, racial divide, because that's the 1920s is when you had, you know, the destruction of Rosewood and Black Wall Street. You had the March on Washington by the KKK. There was a lot of things going on in the 1920s that were significant.
It was about money.
Right.
You were heading into the Great Depression too.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that next. You just hit it. Okay. So, but I was going to say it would benefit, you know, to do a timeline relation about what the population was, what the wealth, the income of races were, you know, through our history, and you'll see that, like, you know, black folks always been at the bottom, and right now I think black folks are even more disproportionately.
But right now, South Carolina, Covina, man, the reason why we're at the bottom is our fault. Because now, right now, we have the ability to stand on our own two feet, and we won't. That is my, if, you know, you always talk about being pro-black. I'm pro-black, you not pro-black. What I'm saying to you is, if you look at the history of where we've come from, where we've been, and where we are, we are in the era of opportunity if we choose to seize it. And we will not stand on our own two feet and try again.
Right.
If you deny people wealth, deny people education, deny people all this stuff for over 400 years, right? And all of a sudden, for the last, I ain't going to even say, I'm going to say maybe 25 years, blacks are starting to move upward, have this upwardly mobile, you know, you got a lot of blacks going into corporate America doing different things. I'll agree with you in that regard, but let's not act as though there's a reason. That's what I'm saying. I can't go that far as to say, well, it's
there
really
is
it's
no,
our
listen
fault.
Listen to what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Individually,
there is no.
Hold on, let me make a point. Individually, if you go out and make four babies, drop out of school, do all this, then yeah, I'll hold you responsible. But collectively, speaking for black people as a whole, it's kind of difficult when I read all this stuff and see all this stuff and I'm finding out all this information. Covina, man, most black people don't know this stuff, Covina, man. I've been pro-black.
Your argument is mute for the simple reason you always got to be better than somebody else or pro somebody else, and somebody else is non something else.
I didn't even make your argument today. I was just
you did.
Agreeing.
When you can't say pro, there is no such thing as pro-black. What is that? That's what's wrong. It is to you.
Right.
I'm not going to say
and
you're too pro-black.
Right. There's a lot of people. Remember James Brown, Black and I'm Proud. Remember that era?
And your point is?
I'm saying, if people did believe that it was pro-black.
And no, we're pro-black today. We just don't wear a T-shirt.
Well, as many people there aren't, or there are not.
That's not true. They are pro-black. You can't judge a man and say they're not because they don't do things the way you want them to do it.
It is.
You cannot judge a man based upon your ideals and say he's not pro-black. I may not agree the way that you're trying to get to a destination, but I'm not here to judge when you're pro and or con anything. But I will say this, as we evolve, but there are people out there who want to do better, who want to know better, have been burned by so many. And when you try to pull them out of the bucket that they're in, they cut your throat. You may not realize that because you may have not had experienced that. But when you try to help people out, see, that's where we want to fail. And I said right now we're in the era of opportunity. 2014 and beyond, it is our time to seize the moment and to grow, to put down all the crazy stuff, to put down the smoke and the weed, to put down hanging on the corners, to put down the ripple, to put down having babies we can't take care of, and to stand on our own two feet and to move forward.
Okay,
it's not about being pro-black. It's about being productive.
Okay, Tracy, can I say something? Let me make my point I wasn't even trying to argue with you. I thought I was gonna have a date, or agreeing with you guys, and trying to fight.
Because you can't call up and say you can't call up and say because people don't think like you, they're not pro-black.
Well, I'm just saying that I was trying to make a point to Alabama that there's a lot of people that know about the history of blacks in this country. There's a lot of people that don't, but there's a lot of people that do.
Covina, man, there are a lot of black people that believe the point that we've been held back through racism, but don't know the extent. What I'm saying is, if I read a book to find out some of the extent of what's been done, don't say, well, I've been knew this. But see, one, it comes off as condescending. Number two, it's like, I'm sitting like, this book is about almost 2,000 pages, and I'm sitting like, man, most people that I do with these hotels, they don't read a lot of times. They get this information off YouTube. A lot of them get information from hanging around certain individuals. A lot of people are lazy. I'm tired of being lazy. I'll read. I'm sitting down. Not that I'm better than anybody, but I'm just trying to read so that I can know what I'm talking about. So when someone comes on and say, hey, my grandfather, I can sit and say, hey, wait a minute, this has been done. And have facts and have history. Most of these guys that claim to be pro-black, a lot of them just say stuff and then just insult you and call you names and call you Uncle Tom and Coon without really having any facts behind them back what they're saying.
Well,
I don't need a break. I'll be right back. You listen?
Yeah, I don't even want to touch that because that's got
to
be in context.
I mean, you said it yourself, a lot of these hotel brothers, man, I mean, they listen to different tapes and get this stuff and, I mean, some of the stuff I've heard, I'm like, man, you contradicting yourself a lot. I mean, a lot of them contradict each other. But it's just, you know, it's a cult. And it's not like really a lot of these people. So a lot of those people in the so-called conscious community are just happy to have a little piece of knowledge, and they keep regurgitating stuff that they heard somebody else say. A lot of them. My thing is you can only judge a person by actions. And if you look at their actions, then you might get sick. Because I do believe you can see if a person is pro-black or not. I do believe that.
I think what Tracy was having a problem with that because it's too close to home. And that's why I didn't want to go there because, you know, certain ways you say something, people get insulted by it, and then I'll just tend to just back away because I know I done hit a nerve on somebody.
I don't even look at what I'm saying. It's like if you're a real white guy, white conservative, number one, they say, this is the way I look at it, we should be unapologetic about being for our people. Because everybody else is unapologetic about being for their people. Irish don't apologize for being Irish. Blacks shouldn't apologize for being black, and we should not feel like we have to give an answer as to why we think this. I mean, a fact is a fact. If y'all went out there and had a ride and tried to get all the black people in Youngstown, Ohio in 1917, you don't know if your family members were involved. You don't know. We don't know this because most people ain't taught this stuff. So it's kind of funny and ironic when I saw Youngstown on the list. It really is. So I'm just saying, like, man, they tried to get rid of all the black folks in that whole city. What? Why? That's about wealth, man. That's not about, well, blacks are committing crime. No, that's about we see the wealth that can be generated if we get rid of our competition.
Right. So you know, I'm agreeing with you, right? So what I'm saying here is, if you're let's say Asian and you're coming from Asia and you see black people sitting on a corner, or you're a white man in Nevada and you see some black folks sitting on a corner of the stoop, and you think that they've been sitting on a stoop since slavery, and that's how lazy they are. What it benefits is if you understand the history that there was things going on from 1865 all the way to 2000 that tells a story of why these people are right now sitting on a stoop. That's the part that white folks...
Well, you know, that's their laziness to come over here. There's this Ethiopian... I've been to Ethiopia. Ethiopians cannot say anything bad about African-Americans because Ethiopia is tore up from the floor. Been there. Had fun, loved it, had a great time. But Ethiopians come over here and they have this snobbish attitude. But see, when you go through customs, they actually train Africans to not deal with us. They tell them to stay away from us. And I didn't notice. See, and a lot of times when you look at, none of these people would be here if it wasn't for us, man. I feel that way profoundly because my people from Montgomery. I'm from Montgomery, Alabama. Bus was my birthplace of the civil rights movement. I feel a certain way. I do. I feel a funny way when I see people come from foreign countries with dark skin, with melanin, and turn their nose up at black people without knowing our story, without knowing our history. Because we don't call somebody else. We don't know it half the time. We don't know how bad it is. I didn't know all this stuff. Man, I'm reading all this stuff like, man, I didn't know they ran people out of Youngstown. So I'm calling up on Youngstown show, and they ran them folks out, tried to run them out. They tried to get rid of them. Then they went and held back. Man, it's all type of stuff, all type of tactics. And what makes it so sad is a white guy telling you. He had to go. He said the only reason a lot of times he felt like they were talking to him because he was white.
That, hey, you hit it right there. It's sad that the white folks got to be the one to tell you about the history. People don't even want to listen. If you were black and you tried to tell them, people wouldn't want to listen. But if a white guy came around and tell them, they'll pay attention.
I would have read the book anyway. I don't care who wrote the book, but I think it helps that it's a white guy because he was able to go in certain enclaves and get information from people about their dad. My granddad did this. My aunts and uncles, they participated in the hanging. They did this. They did that. They told me. They showed me postcards. They did this. They took their businesses. I'm like, wow. These people know this. There's a lot of white people that know this stuff that were in these cities. There's a reason, if you look at the last census, most of the rural areas, black people, if you go back, black people tried to spread out everywhere. We couldn't. They ran us off. That's why we all live in cities. And they tried to get us out of the cities, too.
Right. That's, you know, what about Alabama. That's why when the previous conversations were you be having about talking about, you know, black folks had their own thing, this, that, and the other, that's in the context I be thinking to myself, you must don't know all the information. It's like black folks might have had stuff, but black folks didn't. It wasn't like it was. They wanted to be where they are, and that's why when integration.
Hold on, Covina, man. Hold on. Covina, man, just now.
Yeah,
okay.
That happened.
I agree with you. That happened. But at the same time, I'm not one for excuses. So I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to buy and do what I can and amass wealth, and I'm going to do it. Now, am I going to face certain obstacles? Yes, but I'm just telling you the history. We are able today to get out. I said in the last 25 years, we have been able up and mobile. But, yeah, if it had been 1942, it would have been looking kind of rough for me. I'm going to be honest, 1955, it would have been rough. So when I sit and I see people talking about why black people ain't, I get a little sensitive about that. I really do.
All right, but don't cut me off, though. What I'm saying is, people were upwardly mobile since 1865, and they've always been upwardly mobile black people. It's just that when they try to be upwardly mobile, they was cut off. They was stamped on. They was hung. They was all these things happened to them when they was upwardly mobile. It's just only now, since integration was able to change the rules. The upwardly mobile people can foot out the door and say, okay,
.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today, and before we went to the break, Alabama's reading the book. And
that's the song, Tracy. You shouldn't let that play. I like that song. That's a song
Shalimar.
Right there.
Shalimar.
You like that
love
song?
It, love it. Love it.
You remember them, huh?
I was a little boy laying on the listening by that big wood stereo, hi-fi stereo my mom and them had. Yeah, I love that song.
That was, who was that, Howard Hewitt and who else?
Shalimar.
Shalimar was Howard Hewitt, Jody Watley.
Okay.
Dang, I forget the other dude. Yeah.
The one that nobody knows his name.
Jody Watley used to be a Soul Train dancer. Oh, yeah, that was, man, I love that, man. That was right there, man. They don't make it like that no more.
Listen, I'd have called you back last night, but I got home a little too late. I was out pumping high gas. I was having issues. I want to touch on what you were saying, and just for a moment, I want to clarify. I am not surprised by what has gone on in the past, but we have to choose to make our future better, and that is my only fight, because right now our future is bleak. Our young people have not – when I look at racism in America and I talk to the people that were – my mom was born in the 30s. My grandfather was born in 1900. I have an aunt right now who's 105. She'll be 105 this year. I mean, when I look at what's going on here, when I talk to people who've been around for a very, very long time, and I ask them about the racism that they went through, I can't even touch what they've been through. I can't even fathom in my mind the hell that they've gone through just by the color of their skin. There was a woman here by the name of Reverend Powell, and she would talk to me about she was 104 when she died, I believe. And I would sit down with her and sit at her feet and just talk to her. And she would tell me about how when she would walk down Fifth Avenue, she would have to get off the sidewalk and walk in the street if Mr. Charlie was coming down the road. I mean, this is so real. And I'd be like, wow, that's deep. And she would tell me, you know, how they would spit on them, or how that they would work for a people and the people we talk about sexual harassment. They would harass them for real. And there was no recourse. There was no one to tell. If you told anyone, it didn't do you any good. All you do is have a conversation about it. And when I look at what I went through, they went through a whole lot of hell so that I could go through less. Right. So the people around me could go through less than that. But today's generation of young people have not even remotely even, they haven't even touched it. And we are allowing them to die in the streets, to be incarcerated, and to be subject to a system that hates them. And we won't do anything about it. Shame on us.
Can I come in right now, Tracy?
Sure.
Yeah, I think that history that you were learning from your aunt or whoever it was, that's the history that people remember or know or have knowledge of. So when I listen to people say, oh, back in the great days of before integration, black folks were so good and were so better off. And I'm looking, and I know the history, and I'm thinking to myself, don't they know what black folks had to experience back in those days? Let me make my point first.
But you said something there. Hold on. The difference is, even if they were being spat upon and they were being dogged out by the white man, they have yet to come home and call their mama a bitch.
Right. I was going to get to that, but, you know, somewhere down the line, but I was going to stop first, but I'll just pick up where I just said. I was going to say that people don't remember the type of inhumanity that black people had to live. That's why they didn't want to continue suffering that, and they didn't want their children to suffer that. That's why
they didn't forget.
I'm not saying that they did. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about our generation.
Because you think the word segregation, you think that I want to go back to people getting hit with dogs and hoses. What I'm talking about is more black-owned businesses being supported by more black people. And I feel like we can get to that. Getting rid of some of that, I think that, yeah, well, we have been denied certain things, yes. But had we been left alone and not given certain things, I think we would have been better off in the long run. Do I think that we should have been dogged out to the level that we were dogged? No, but if they had just left us alone, we would have been okay. Jews were left alone. Jews were left. Look at them now. Look at the Jews right now.
Alabama, I'm trying to make a point, and you keep cutting me off. But my thing is, people not looking at, because they weren't leaving you alone. That's the point. They were not going to leave you alone until people had to march and fight for their rights. then once they fought and marched for their rights, then they left people alone. Or they, at least that was the beginning of it. That's the point. They wasn't going to leave you alone.
But listen,
they were going to burn you down.
But today,
okay, man, I got
listen,
one question. I got
but
one
today,
question. What was
the number 347-945-5229. The issue is today. Today. Today is April 25th, 2014.
Right, let's get to that.
We need to make a conscious decision today. You may know your past, but you don't have to relive it by being incarcerated in your future.
Right, let's get
and
to that.
And the programs that they are subscribing and prescribing to you are not there to free you. They're there to put you back in the bondage and to keep you there.
Okay, let's get to that. But you have to lay down the
context. You know, so, no, wait a minute. It ain't about getting to that. That's what the problem is. The problem is right now. No, I cannot live looking in the rearview mirror. What
okay,
I'm saying is today. Today.
Tracy, yes, we have to know what path we came to before we got here today. And I'm trying to say
no, Covina man. Listen, I need to know my path. But right now,
exactly how
no.
people think. They want to forget all the things that happened before. That's what you're doing. Exactly
we
what
are there. No, we're not saying don't know your future, but your past. We are not saying don't know your history. What I'm saying is live in your now.
See, we're living in the now. That's not going
to change. No, we're not living in the now.
Living in now.
If we lived in the now, we would do better. Right now, we still talk about the white man got his foot on our neck. He ain't even around.
If you understand the history where you came from, you understand
no, I'm telling you, and you won't listen to me. The programs that they are putting down on the black community and on the poor community and on the people of color today are there to keep you where you are. They don't want you to be free.
Tracy,
so they put you they put you into subsidized housing that look like mini prisons. They put you into schools that prepare you to go into incarceration, and you play into it. You send your children to school, and you don't learn. If you don't learn ABC 1, 2, 3 and how to respect people, you will not survive in America or in this world.
Tracy.
And there is no. I know more kids because I can tell you more about black history, and they're still smoking weed on the back of their mama's porch. They don't even hide it anymore.
Tracy, it's not going to do them good to just start teaching them history. That ain't going to do any good. I'm trying to talk to you. I ain't trying to talk to them. I talk to them differently.
The programs that are coming out of our government are here to enslave us. Not in shackles and chains, but in our minds. Minimum wage is there to tell you you can't do better. So I got to pay you a minimum to make you feel as though you're worth it. You want to be better, but no one is offering you minimum wage. If you're gonna push a broom, be the best broom pusher there is. But we don't even come to work and do the job anymore.
Okay, I understand. You don't want to know what's going on. So you want
no, Covina man. No, Covina man. Listen, it is not that I don't want to know what's going on. What I'm saying is the programs that are coming out of our government right now, the entitlement programs right now, are there to keep you enslaved. Because the same mentality that was there in 1917 that he was talking about when there were the riots in Youngstown is the same mentality that is a part that put together the program. The program is not there to free you. It's there to put you back into bondage.
That doesn't even make any sense, State Tracy.
I know, because you can't think that far.
It's not thinking far, Tracy.
It is thinking far. You can't think past what is the government going to do for me next? What's going to happen for me next? You can't think past that. And what I'm saying is we need to think to be free.
You have no math to back you up. You're just going on pure
yes,
emotion.
Yes, I do have the math to back me up.
No, because you don't want to
72% of African-American children are in single-family homes because of the war on poverty. Economic development in the inner city is at a all-time high.
Hold on, the wealth was not integrated. Knowledge, education was not integrated. Nothing else was integrated. Just we got basic human rights. So, but we're so proud of that. we sit back and say, well, the wealth is not integrated. This is not integrated. So I just think that we need to kind of step back. I think what Covina Man is saying, people need to hear this stuff because a lot of people hadn't heard of Sundown Town. Some of your callers didn't say that. So now they say, okay, well, let me go look this book up and read it so I'll know. So people's hearts and minds can be changed, and they look at things a little different. But black people, you can say that, but I'm just saying, if your father could have been a millionaire, but he was denied that opportunity, he worked making minimum wage, I don't know. That millionaire would have provided more jobs for black people.
Okay, outside Alabama, listen to this. Sticks and I have said this for a while. They used black people as a pilot program for how they were going to deal with population control. So now they got y'all under control where you're not going to grow no more. For the next 50 years, you're going to stay where you are, and you're going to plateau at 15%, no more, no less. So by 1950, you're going to be right where you're at. You're just going to be riding. You're just like treading water, not going forward, not going backwards, just standing there. So they got you under control, so let's work on everybody else. So right now, when you have a business in America and you die, the likelihood of you being able, unless you have a major, massive corporation, which is a multi-billion-dollar corporation, the likelihood of you being able to transfer your business from your child, from your family to your children is highly unlikely because the taxes that they impose upon you when you die, you can't pay for. So you have to sell your business out or close it down or get rid of it so that you can pay the taxes so that there is no transfer of wealth. So if you own any property and if you have anything and you have to go into a senior care facility, even if you have a couple hundred thousand dollars, if you're in there for an exorbitant amount of time, what you have to do is you got to pay $6,000 a month until you have it completely spent down. You can't have any equity in your life insurance policy so that when you die with a whole lot less. So you don't have, you can't transfer your wealth that you once had to your family. So the same thing that we say about what happens with black people, you couldn't have it. They're doing to the whole society at large. And all I'm asking for people to do is wake up and see what the system is doing to you. Money is not wealth, but when you have money, it's easier to accumulate wealth because that means you can diversify. You can actually do some things with it, and you can make it grow. But you can't make it grow if I'm taking it from you, and that's what America is doing right now. So they're taking it from you so that you cannot grow, so everything will be equal. Local call, your mic is on.
I don't know if you heard this one man. I guess you'll, many of your Republican friends are trying to send this man. The government has come down on him because, he was supposed to. The man, he has the cattle. I think his name is
Bundy. We talked about him yesterday. You should have listened in yesterday.
I was busy doing something yesterday, but in other words, y'all was bringing up about him yesterday. Tracy, you keep on talking about us being free, and I don't want to bring up free. To me, real freedom is when we're liberated from sin and death and human imperfection.
God, no, that's the only freedom we're going to get. That's when you die or Jesus comes back. But for right now, he wants you to live here and be prosperous and be in good health even as your soul prospers. And I don't mean to mean, but that is what it is. He wants us to be prosperous here and there. Covina Man, I'm just saying we can do better and we're not.
I understand, Tracy. We're going to do better.
When can I start writing recommendation letters for African-American young people who want to go to college and get a scholarship?
I can't. Okay, you can. Well,
no,
let
I can't.
Okay, let somebody else
no, do it. No, you're missing my point. Because we're still graduating and we're not coming out to where we're actually we can never qualify for scholarships.
Right.
There's,
you don't want this movie coming out.
There's a movie coming out about a black high school. These kids, the parents are talking about, well, yeah, this is the only way to get to college. I'm sitting, I look, even if I hadn't got a basketball scholarship, I was going to college. I don't care if I had a 2.0, 1.5 GPA, I was going. So I think that right there in and of itself, this is on SportsCenter. I mean, it's on ESPN. They're proud of it. They're showing it. It really is a problem with the mindset of a lot of black people. I mean, it's right now mentally we've been beat down. Now it's like the battered wife syndrome. It's like, you know, Stockholm syndrome. They feel like, hey, I want to, you know, I know this is bad, but I'm going to keep doing it anyway. And even if you tell them, they'll argue you why they should be able to, make their children only value their education through the lines of getting a college scholarship through a sport. Instead of saying, well, I'm going to go to college regardless. I don't care if I don't got no legs. I'm going to college. I mean, that's just basic common sense. If you want to be upwardly mobile, you might need to get some sort of trade or education that's a skill to where you can make more than $7, $8 an hour and sit and complain about how somebody got their foot on your neck. And you need to go to college and not major in sociology and psychology. You major something for dealing with math and science. And we don't want to do that with math and science. But that's the only way you're going to make some money.
Because I don't know why I can't speak without being interrupted. I can't even get...
Because you talk all around the block.
I'm trying to make a point, and you guys won't let me make the point.
Make your point. You got 2 minutes.
Okay, my point was... Continue, if I can remember now. My point was that we didn't have... the opportunities that everybody else had, and that's what people aren't realizing. And once we were able to obtain the opportunities, then we had evolved into a situation to where black folks was rejecting education or rejecting being in corporate America and all that stuff. People became cynical about the political system, about the culture, about integration. We had people go from pro-black, meaning you're trying to do better, to pro-black, meaning I'm trying not to be white. That was a generational shift. That shift happened for people probably like Tracy's age and my age, Jeff's age, and that generation, people that maybe was born around the time or after the civil rights era, and we grew up, if you graduated high school about 1980, 82 in the 80s, then you were born probably right at the time that civil rights came. There was a generation. You were able to see in that lifetime people go from pro-black when you was in the 70s to anti-white, anti-everything else. It became like, instead of like, I'm black and I'm proud and I can make it, and yes, you can, it went to... Covina, man,
listen. 1984, I left here and went to California. I was 19 years old. And opportunity was there. You have to make a choice. And we were crazy. Don't get me wrong. My generation, we were crazy. We was partying hard. You know, it was coming out of the disco movement, and we were heading into the hip-hop movement, and we were psycho. And it is our fault, those of us who are the late baby boomers from 1965 forward to about 1975. It is our fault the generation behind us looks like it does. That's why I keep on asking. Hold on.
Expound on
that. Pardon me?
Expound on that.
Then we, and so since it is our fault, because one, the children that we raised, we did not take care of like we should have. We gave them too much, and we didn't give them responsibility. We didn't turn them into productive citizens, and now we're raising grandchildren. A large group of our generation is dead from just being stupid. And right now, if you look at racism in America, they no longer have to point their finger at us and kill us. The Ku Klux Klan no longer has to come in our yards and burn a cross. They no longer have to hang us. We kill ourselves. They no longer have to fight for us to not get an education because we don't do it on our own. We are doing this to ourselves now. And what I'm saying is, and what I'm saying is, what?
What happened to the black folks? Remember when they got, when they got civil rights, right?
Let me tell you what happened. They gave, listen, mom, you said what happened? My mama didn't want me to work as hard as she did, and all she wanted me to do is go to school and get an education while she worked. And she didn't give us the responsibilities that she probably should have and kept us kept our feet to the fire, and it's because of our entitlement and our mentality. We was out there clowning and partying hard.
So you blaming your mother?
No, I'm blaming society. I'm blaming it at large. Our parents did not hold – they gave us too much.
Okay, now let me answer that question. Now, what happened when you're missing something – once we got the civil rights in the 1960s, late 60s, in the 1970s, there was a counter-civil rights revolution that was countered by the government coming in with the COINTEL program, if you remember. And maybe you don't. Maybe you don't understand what history was. There was a counter-civil rights era by the United States government under the FBI to come in with a COINTEL program to counter civil rights. They brought
That started in the 20s. Go ahead.
Well, I understand. What I'm saying, this is specific to what were they countering in the 70s. There was a backlash. They came in and they created, idealized the previous generation. When we was younger, we looked to people like the Temptations, the Globetrotters. We looked to Flip Wilson. We were younger kids. We idealized our older generation. But the younger generation, the government came in, gave these people drugs. They gave them, this was
programmed
by the government. Wait a minute, let me
you're right. Listen, right. It's happened in 1960. Listen, you're right. But let me say it. Hold on, Kalina, because I've got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're right. You are right about that.
Sounds ready to...
Kalina.
Yes, I'm right here.
Same. Look here, man. Round like 1988, 90, when all these rappers started coming in, a lot of the West Coast rap brought the quality of hip hop down. When you start talking about today's generation, it's the hip hop generation that we're really talking about. And let's look at there was a lot of positive, upbeat, progressive minded brothers coming out of New York doing things that was independently owned. It wasn't owned by all these, and I'm not being racist against Jews, but that's who took over. And look what happened when they got in charge. Look at what happened with Jimmy
NWA.
Yeah, when NWA, they talk about making a movie as if to glorify these guys. These guys brought down the culture of black people. You go back in the 80s before NWA, brothers were around here with curls trying to look pretty. And they ain't saying that was a good thing either. But brothers had curls and eyeliner, all just trying to be pretty. Go back and look at the music. And then look at what happened. Just as soon as NWA hit everybody across the whole country now, Eazy-E's first one, "Why You Wear Your Pants Like That," for Easy Access. Y'all remember that song? Now everybody and their mama wear their pants off their butt. Everybody, and it's a certain mindset that comes with being a gangster, with being a thug, with being and we don't value certain things. And I think, and I honestly have to blame the civil rights generation because that's when they was raising kids.
No, that's
and,
wrong.
And look
that's
at what happened.
When you that's the false blame. That's what the white man wants you to do. That's not the blame. I'm trying to tell you where the blame was, and you know, Tracy with the break. The blame did not come from the Eazy-E's parents or Ice Cube's parents or Dr. Dre's parents. NWA. That didn't come from their parents. Their community had a program brought into their area, COINTEL program, specifically to bring in drug dealers. They specifically, this is what the government did. They brought in the government. They gave these people a car, right? They gave them a car.
I did not argue. I'm not arguing with that.
Okay.
Yes, they came
and
they did the drugs. They did all that. Darker Lines, Ricky Rawls, Danilo Blandone, whatever the guys that sold the drugs to him. They flooded the black community with drugs. I agree with you.
They gave it to him for free, dude. They had a program.
Almost free. $8,000, $10,000 a key. Come on, man. Keys running for $30,000 nowadays. So, that's a lot of money.
But what they did was they specifically came in. They found a guy. and said, we're going to give you the best car you want. And they said, what car do you want? And gave him the car. I want you to go around, drive around the city, impress all the people. When they come to you and ask you how you got this car, tell them you made it from selling drugs. And then and they gave them and said, you can do this too. And they came up, this is a program from the United States government. They told these guys to go around the cities and act like big shots. And they're going to supply them with money, houses, cars, to make them look impressive. And that got a whole generation of people saying, we're no longer going to look at the previous generation and Flip Wilson and Harlem Globetrotters. No, we can start looking at these guys driving through the hoods with all these pretty women, with the government supply too. And then that's why
it's all. Hold on, Copita Man. Part of that same program is to go into rap and hip hop. They watch certain rappers to make sure that they don't come out, and when they come out and say something positive, those, I'm telling you, that's what hip hop is about.
When they start talking about that Illuminati stuff,
I believe it. I do. I'm not as far as some of these people are when they're crazy, but for the most part, the government keeps tabs on, especially Tupac, because of his heritage. They were all in his trash when he was a little boy. They followed him all up until his death. They were there the night he died. The government has been involved in music. Because music, man, you control the media, you control the people. People don't think like that, but you really do.
They will not market black music that is not negative anymore. If it's positive, they won't market it. And you're not going to.
That's why I can't stand these feminists. These black feminists are so stupid because they're talking about the black entertainment industrial complex. There is no black entertainment industrial complex. Oh, you should call it Jewish. I call it white-owned, but don't call it black, because black people don't own and control nothing in music.
Right, it's gay people that actually control a lot of this stuff. We're finding out now with the Hollywood case, with this big director that's getting busted for all this child stuff. A lot of these gay homosexuals.
These feminists get mad because people don't trust the Lupita rant that they're going on. My thing is with Lupita, I'm like, look, man, y'all said one black woman, blast her out. There are thousands of black women that look just as good, if not better, that can act, that have the same talents, that have the same degrees, everything. But we are suspicious. And when you get suspicious, you should be suspicious of Hollywood, because it's an overtly racist organization. But those are the people that's running the thoughts and minds of the country right now. Hollywood, hip-hop, the media. This stuff is, that's where the fight is today. And that's why I hope it moves to the internet, because there are a lot more progressive brothers out there that have a fighting chance. But
right,
when you got to come to, black authority, when you got to go to a certain group of people to get your record deal, you got to talk a certain way. You got to say certain things, and you have to go a certain, why is that? People been wearing their pants. Rappers wore their pants off their butt in 1988. Here it is, almost 30 years later. They're still doing it. What was that? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, boss.
Yeah. You notice all the shows now, all the new TV shows are all gay themed now.
Yep. And pretty soon it's going to be a man on boy love. And then,
Don't get me started on being gay. Like, gayness, they done took that, man. Like, they done took rappers like Kanye. He coming out in defense of homosexuality. It's out there, man. It's getting crazy. And I don't care what you say, you cannot be a Christian, but the Christian values of this country held certain things, man. I don't care what people say. The more we get away from that, look at where it's headed. There is no alternative. Everybody's splitting and splintering into their own twisted way of thinking. It's, man, America's in trouble, especially black people.
I wouldn't even say that Christian thing, man, because it's people been fake Christians.
Man,
look,
man. You say what you want. The black church, those people went out there and fought and did what it is that you say you think was good, integration. They went out there and took them. You can say what you want. The church has done a lot for black people. Now, they can sit and turn against it right now and do what they want, but let's not act like the church was not the centerpiece of the community, especially in the 60s. Where do you think they was meeting at? Where did we make our plans at? The church.
Hey.
Hey, we're back. A Newsom, Tracy, and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic. I guess, I try not to talk about race.
What's up with all this good music, Tracy? You going back to the 80s? You going back to stuff?
Listen, I told you. As long as the sun was up, I wouldn't play happy. The sun is shining. No, the sun went down. I can go back to happy now. When I came, I had my sunglasses on today. I got on flip-flops and a little sweater. This is good. So I don't need.
Y'all cold up there?
It's not cold. It's not cold. It's a summer. Right today, it's a springtime. You know, springtime morning chill, and nothing major. I got on flip flops right now.
It's getting hot up here. It's hot down here in Alabama.
It ain't hot, but it ain't. I put my boots on.
Oh, it's getting hot. It's getting hot. Trust me.
It ain't hot here yet, but I'm looking for heat. I'm looking for sunshine. And rain and heat and sun. And if I can have that, you know, like sunshine and rain, you know, what was his name? He sang the song. Hey, listen, tomorrow, don't forget the Women's Rally in the Valley. It's going to be a victory assembly in Coatesville at 9:30. I'll be speaking in the afternoon. Hope you can come out and spend the day with us. I will be preaching. I'll be ministering the Word of God tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that.
I ain't going to be able to make it, Tracy. My daughter's prom tomorrow. Oh, Lord, that day, I knew this day was
going to
come.
Now, listen, are you, you're not going to, now, how are you handling the prom thing?
Well, I'm not going to walk out with a shotgun. I done met the boy. He's a good kid. He shook my hand, gave me a nice, respectable, firm handshake.
What's that got to do with the price of rice?
Them the ones you need to be careful of. He already understands certain things.
No, I'm telling you, actually, I prefer the ones to give me a firm handshake. I don't want the little lip wrist sissy boys going out with my daughter, man.
Okay.
He ain't got to be lip wrist, but hey, I'm going to tell you something. I knew guys would go, hey, how are you doing, sir? Man, get your daughter now. He trying to run a train on your daughter. I'm just telling you that. Not you, but I'm just saying. There are guys like that.
I think they ought to just go with chaperones, if you ask me. That's why I don't have kids, can you tell?
Yeah,
I be sitting in the back seat when we going to the prom, huh?
Tracy, how are you going to pass on a legacy, Tracy? Once you gone, that's it? You ain't going to have no kids? What about your legacy?
No.
You don't care?
I'm going to give my money to charity. And then I'm going to give my money to charity, and hopefully they'll name a building after me, and that'll be it. I don't want no kids. No. Children are a great responsibility, and when you have them, I'm very, very selfish.
I think the payoff is worth it, though.
Oh, too bad.
I ain't got none yet, but I think it's worth it.
I'm very, very selfish. I want everything to be about me. Thought you knew.
That's modern black woman right there.
No.
Now, here I am trying to hook you in Alabama up, and y'all already not compatible. You don't want no kids, he won't kids.
That's
man,
the problem
I
right there.
Yeah, different generation.
What you thought of that video the other day when they was going at that guy? He didn't even make a bad point, actually.
Alabama. Really? I just come back.
I'm just saying that this black feminist stuff is really big in the black.
Oh, you own that video? Oh my God!
Yeah.
Those chicks need to take a chill pill, especially the first one.
The first one was just like the dude.
Listen, guys. Hey. We don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, Alabama posted a video about this doctor on Huffington Post Live. He was asking, I forgot the comedian's name, but this new black political comedian, whatever his name is.
W. Kamau Bell.
Okay. He was asking him about, what's that black girl's name?
Lupita.
Okay. He was asking him about Lupita, and he asked him, do you think something about her, he called her a fetish, or not her a fetish, but how white people view her. He said it's kind of fetish-like. And, man, the sisters went in on him. I was like, geez, Lord have mercy.
What video was this?
You got to go on Alabama's page. Alabama, I think you need to post on Tracy's page so everybody can see it. That first sister,
yeah.
I was like, she either need to get married,
she
get
like,
laid.
Yeah, you got white, you got
she
white
need a therapist.
Because
you didn't put it on my page, did you?
I put it on there. Okay. That's good. Yeah, I put it on there.
Okay, because I didn't see it.
She's like, you just are not going to call her a fetish. Well, she was a little, a little more urban than me.
Yep.
She's like, you are not going to go there today. I was like, ooh.
Well, the point she made, she was like, tell me that you don't understand that has sexual connotations to it. Something she was saying about the word fetish. I'm saying, like, no, most people don't look at the word fetish like it's sexual. Like, only you, some academic who's got probably a PhD and been in school for 40 years, you think like that. Most people don't look at it. When I hear the word fetish, I just think it's an affinity, a liking to a certain thing. But she took it like, she took the word fetish to be personal. Like, he was saying that it's a sexual thing, and they want
don't
to. I'm going to be honest. I ain't going to get into why I think they really like Lupita, but that's a whole nother show. But
don't you guys think that the reason why our community is the way that it is because we've taken on too many of the social norms when it comes to relationships?
No, I think a lot of black women are dealing with their own personal issues, especially that woman. She has her own personal issues with how she's viewed as a black woman, how white society and black men view her. And I think that came out through her discussion with this man.
Overall, I mean, if you look at where we're going, do you not see where we are taking on? We are becoming very too independent, too demanding, and not caring enough, and it is affecting our family life.
Are you talking about when it comes to each other?
To each other, to men and women.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
And because we have blurred lines. Would you say?
A man doesn't want to come. My thing is, if I'm especially African man, if I'm trying to run a business or trying to do something, and I don't have all the resources, I'm fighting trying to get stuff together. I don't want to come home and fight because I changed the channel and put it on a football game, and we fighting to the death over it. Or I don't want to, and I think a lot of sisters are like that. That's something. I mean, I'm gonna marry a sister, but I'm just saying
if you're fighting over
like
over you changing the channel, then you have to understand that that's not really what the fight is about. And
it's other problems.
Yeah.
But it still affects our family life.
Yeah, it does.
Our family life is really.
What'd
you say?
No, I've seen women that will fight you to the death for leaving this toilet seat up. Don't tell me that black women they will challenge you on anything. That's just how they are.
But what I'm telling you is, when you got someone who is fighting over those little issues and they're fighting hard, that's not the issue that they're really fighting over. That's when you're lacking communication and you need to sit down with your significant other, your spouse, and have a serious conversation.
In 21 years, we've never argued over a toilet seat. I can honestly say that.
So you put the toilet seat down, huh?
Not always.
So, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, because if you look at what's going on in our community and look at what's going on in our family, we talk about racism, but I think a lot of it has to do with feminism also, the feminist movement.
Yes.
The feminist movement was not kind to black people.
It did a disingenuous thing for women. I can understand the women's suffrage movement, but the feminist movement, when you do research, it was women who basically looked at the male-female relationship, didn't want it, didn't like it, but yet they wanted females for themselves.
Say that again.
What they did was they turned women against their own men in order to procure a relationship with themselves.
What, you see lesbianism?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what she was trying to say. She was trying to be plus.
Why did you just say that instead of dancing all over what you were saying? Because I couldn't figure out what the heck you were talking about.
Sorry.
And let me say. I think with the feminist movement, I think when white women rebel, so to speak, in a feminism against white men, they're doing so in a power structure relationship where a white man had all the power to make X amount of money to the dollar of men and so forth. So they were doing that on a political structural level. When black people do it, this gender war is not on the same basis because the black women make just as much or more money than black men. So when there's a gender issue, it has something to do totally different than what the white women started feminists for.
Can I ask you a question?
Sir, ma'am, yes.
Why does it make a difference who makes more money if we are both in this together?
Because male ego can't handle it.
No, my thing was I was just saying what feminism was and how
I'm
black
saying,
people.
I mean, seriously. No. Yes. If you don't answer, I ask you a question, you give me an answer to another question.
I can answer that. I feel like most sisters, when they get a certain level, and you hear a lot of black women feminists telling them, "You're strong, you're powerful, you're this, you're that," then you have to come home and you got this guy who makes $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 less. It tends to make you, why am I answering to this weak guy? He can't even pay my bills. He can't do this. So I'm more powerful, and I think there's a problem with that because you don't have anything you can die and leave. You just have a job, and I think black women need to realize that you're not successful. You can say you're successful coming from where you came from, but that's not real true success to say I'm successful because I make $200,000 working for Procter & Gamble. Because Procter & Gamble, one, can fire you. Secondly, if you die, your family may get maybe, what, $400,000? That's it. And in 5 years, they haven't improved. So I think it's an illusion. Just like when they talk about the black middle class. Class used to be measured off of what you own, not how much income you make. Yeah, and so that's the problem. I think our black women have kind of taken over, but they don't want to look at, okay, 25 years ago there was no, black women wasn't able to say what they're saying now. They're saying this now because you're just not getting out there.
No,
but
black
it was
women.
It was brothers in the civil rights that took dogs and took all this stuff and got beat down and got shot and killed. And then I think a lot of sisters need to take their hats off and respect that and not just look down at our brothers today and say, the brothers aren't off the plate. They can't handle a strong sister. You know, and I hear a lot of that old stuff that they've been saying for 40 years now, 30 years. But I think that they need to understand that if you can't build a community, a proper society without a man and a woman, and you can't without a male leadership. I know women don't want to hear that, but that's the truth.
Here's my problem with black men and when they say stuff such as Alabama is saying, is that you take a woman and you see what she is putting out there and not understanding that there is something deeper to that. When you get a black woman who is that way, you have to look at what she's been through and where she's come from. Most black women are coming from – hold on, let me finish. Most black women are coming from – households where their father has abandoned their mother. Every male that they've seen in their life is abandoning their children. They're basically cheating, being doggish. I mean, I could say myself, I have not come across not one faithful black man ever in my life that I know
Can
personally.
Can I say this, Diva? Let me say
Diva's right on the point.
Men are men. Men are men, and men. There are men that will roam, and there are men that don't. And you can't classify them by their race, black male. But let me say this: that black male, we say what we do, it goes deeper than that. Well, what they do goes deeper than that also. And my question is: when you raise a black male without a male around, and when you feminize him from the beginning, you can't be surprised by what you get. But because of the role reversal that we have right now in our society, don't you think we are really it's affecting our community at large? I mean, because you got all these Amazons going on right now, And even
but
if you look,
not,
if you,
not
if,
just
if,
that
if,
though, Tracy.
It's
not
just
that,
man.
Tracy. I feel like, hold on, black men. When you look at the penile system, the way it's set up for black women, I mean, and a lot of these black women don't want to talk about the dating choices that they make.
But
I mean, let's just go ahead. You got, hold on, you got 50% of black women that have sexually transmitted diseases, right? Herpes or whatever, right? So you take that, and you look at only 20% of black men. So, okay, so who are they sleeping with? Who are these women sleeping with
men?
If only 20%? They'll sleep with that 20%, which is primarily thugs. So black women usually gravitate towards these black women. It's a lot of good brothers out here that these sisters won't get a time of day. I don't want to hear that about you want to sweep us all under the rug and say we're all one way. No.
There are a lot of
brothers out here that are educated, that got good jobs, that will treat these women right. They wouldn't give them a time of day. They want that thug. They want to do that until they feel like they can't, and then they have 5 or 6 kids. Now they want the good man, but now the man don't want you because you got 4 or 5
kids.
Break,
right.
And Tracy?
She went to break.
Go ahead,
okay, Diva, I don't agree with what you're saying and everything. I don't care if you – wait up. I don't care if you went through all hell and you saw the example of people treating bad and everything. That doesn't give you the right as a woman or as a man to treat another human being wrong, period.
Stanley, you ever dated a woman that's a hoe that cheat?
Yeah, I've met women that cheat and everything.
So you go right here and just treat every woman the same way? No,
I treat people with decency and respect and everything. I don't care what I try to look at myself in the mirror and say, you know what? So that woman cheated and everything, but the next woman I'm going to have in my life, I'm not going to treat her like
that's
shit.
That's because you're a man, because nobody babies you, Stanley. You're a man. Men don't get babies like women.
You know, I don't get bullshit. So when I'm hearing Diva saying, well, you know, you shouldn't understand the woman that she went to hell and just, oh, I'm looking at you like, what are you talking about?
Wait a minute. You want us to understand the fact that you're
out
in this
world.
No,
we don't. We want
you to be. Let me finish. You want us to understand that you're out in this white man's world. You're dealing with the white man at work. You want to come home, have time to yourself, even though she may have had a bad day and needs some comforting or whatever. She needs you to give her time and space to regroup. She needs to understand you as a man, but you refuse to understand her as a woman.
Diva, I understand what you're saying, but you can still do it politely. You can still do it with care. You can still do it a good way. You don't need to do the lift. You could come to your man very easily and say, you know, baby, I had a rough day. You know, baby, you could say things to men that will basically sit down with you if you don't bring the whole war. That's what you don't understand. The strongest part of you women is your nurture part. That's your strongest part that you don't have anymore.
We see brothers like you every day that say, all you have to do is come to us this way, that way, be nurtured,
yes,
blah, blah, blah.
And you don't do it. 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 You're just proving my point.
What Stanley's saying.
You're fighting what I'm saying instead of saying, you know what? We need to do that, women.
Because
you're fighting
I'm a woman.
I'm not yelling at you. First of all, I'm not yelling at you.
I'm a woman.
Diva, it has nothing to do with a woman or a man. I told you that. I'm not yelling at you. It has to do with respect. I'm not yelling at you, first of all. You don't have to fight me for everything that I say. You have to think about it and say, is it true or is it not true? If you treat somebody with decency and kindness, you'll be treated with decency and kindness.
If you start fighting
every minute for everything that I say, if we don't even have the basics of saying, you know what, I'm going to treat somebody nice because I have to.
Here's what you're not getting. What you're saying is not true as far as everybody and everybody's...
Well, why is it not true? Tell me one reason why is it not true. Bring any woman and any man and tell a woman, you know what, you're in a relationship with this man and I want you to stop fighting, I want you to stop nagging, I want you to stop disrespecting him, I want you to stop when he comes to work and everything and treat him nice. Treat him kind. Treat him with respect.
Wait,
you're debating it.
I started talking and you overtalked me. I wasn't even
Diva, 70% of black women are single for a reason. Listen to the man. Listen to
him. No, I'm going in with the trick. I'm saying you want to have a good man and everything. Do those things. Stop debating on the man.
I see it on a daily basis. Women who are doing that for that.
No, way. I don't. I don't see on a daily basis. I see women fighting men.
You cannot overtalk me.
Go ahead.
See it all the time. So-called good brothers, educated good brothers, well-mannered good brothers turn around and hurt their women in ways that you can't even fathom.
How are they hurting? On paper,
Diva, where'd you get these statistics, Diva? Where'd you look that up? How are they hurting their sisters?
Tell me how they're hurting their sisters.
She dated a guy that wear glasses that cheated on her. So she think all of them like that.
No,
how are they hurting their brothers?
I'm talking about myself when we're having this conversation. I've said it myself. I have never come across a good, and the reason why I say black men is because that's all I really deal with.
Okay.
I've seen women who are good to their men, and they turn around.
Diva, before you saying they're good to their men, how do you know? Did you go to the men and ask him if they're good to their men?
Diva,
I'm asking you a question, and you're going emotional instead of looking at
logically. Ask me a question, I answered it, but you don't want to hear my answer.
Diva, a lot of sisters will brag about their education as if men don't even ask you to have no degree.
I'm a good woman.
I didn't live. Yeah, but you picked
me. I know women who cook for a man.
Diva, that's the first question I will ask you. Did you go to those brothers and say, you know what? I heard that this sister is treating you well. Is it true? Did you do that? Diva, did you do that?
I know these people personally.
You don't know those people until you said that. You do not know those people.
Diva ain't going to listen to me, Stanley, but check this out. How many good women you know? Good women get wiped up real quick, don't they?
Okay, we're cleaning y'all, man.
No, when you're a good woman, when you're a good, loyal woman that don't fight all the time, you're going to get wiped. I've met women,
hey,
they always take it.
The good ones are always taken. Woman who doesn't have her own opinions, her own mind.
Diva, who said you can't?
Diva, we just ain't gonna lay down and let you run over us. We don't want you like that, so we gonna tell you the truth.
No.
Diva, can I ask you, paperback, and you listen to AM 600.
The number is 330.
Yes.
781-9600 if you want to call locally, or 347-945-5229. It's open mic, and we were talking about race this morning.
Wow.
And racism and
Royal Rumble on the break.
Alabama was reading a book, and he said that he found that there was riots in Youngstown, race riots in Youngstown in the 1917, and then I went over to relationships, and I said, you know, some of the demise in our community, I think, is actually from our lack of family, our lack of relationships, and I asked the question about money, because I don't understand how money changes, you know, if we're in this together, no matter who makes it, we ought to just be happy that somebody's bringing it home. But I think we need to quit trying to make the woman be heavy in the relationship to where we depend upon her income and not on his. Because a man who stays home and does nothing all day long, and she goes to work all day long and busts her butt, there's an issue there. But that's just my opinion. Hi, who's out there? Hi, Stanley.
Hey, can't no real man stay at home and let his woman go make all the money. I'm just an OG with mine.
Yeah. Tracy, the problem I feel, and Diva's the perfect example, is When I tell Diva that women, you need to go back to being nurturers and nice and kind, that has more power to a man than any money you could bring. When I say to a woman that we don't want women who basically gonna like the other said, we fight enough when we go outside. When we come home, we don't want to fight. You can come with any kind of opinion you want. You can come with anything. But there's a way that women, you used to know how to say those things.
And that was
a
way Hold on. Just, I do understand what he's saying, and I agree with him. But you do realize that.
Stanley, I'm
agreeing with you. What I'm saying is,
that's serious.
You realize,
what saying.
You realize I don't know how to.
I mean, that goes back tribal. That goes back to tribal days. Because when men would go out, women would say, come home, with carrying your shield or on your shield. And that woman was, those women were different. We got to go back to those days.
Eric,
things worked
listen,
out.
Guys, but do you realize I don't know how to, right?
Well, go find out how to.
No. Stanley, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying.
Wait.
How are you going to teach me how to if nobody that I know knows how to?
Well, you go get the successful people who
No. You cannot look at somebody's home and think that they're successful because of what they do. They're successful to you.
Okay, or if you don't know that way, you go get a book that tells you how to do it.
No book is going to tell you that, Stanley.
There's many books that they're going to tell you things that you should not say, that if women would read it and apply it, a lot of women would be better. Trust me not.
Stanley,
I had to apply a lot of things that I had to apply in my relationship that I don't apply. 5 years ago, the things
Stanley,
that I did 5 years ago to now are two different things.
Yeah, but you ruined how many relationships in the meantime? You got to understand, you only run across a couple people in your lifetime that are really for you, that you're compatible with. And a lot of times you miss the opportunity, and a lot of times the reason why we miss the opportunity is because we really don't know how to. And I don't, and I'm trying to be very, very honest about that and candid about that You got to realize I don't know that I have a problem. It's like, you know, if I'm talking to you and I have lipstick on my teeth and a booger in my nose,
mm-hmm.
Unless you tell me or I look in the mirror later on. So I walk around and I think that I look good all this time, and in actuality, I really look crazy. And what I'm saying is we, and as a man, if you don't know how to tell me that you got lipstick on your teeth and you got a booger in your nose, then it causes conflict.
But, Tracy, if I tell you this and you still fight on me of telling me, no, I don't, then we have conflict. If I'm telling you the most respectable way, hey, babe, you have this on your face, and you're telling me, no, I don't, and all my girlfriends are telling me I don't, and coming with all the crisis and everything, you think of, as a man, I'm going to say, well, hell, I'm not going to tell her anything now. You just shut down the man.
Yeah,
Alabama.
Yes, Kobe and a man.
I was just going to add this. I'm sitting back listening, but I was just going to add this. I think this is one of those subjects where it's like people have a problem at work, and they come home, and they kick the dog. They're kicking the dog ain't had nothing to do with their problems at work. This is one of those conversations where people come in with problems they had in their own personal lives, and they come into a conversation and they try to beat up somebody else. They had nothing to do, but why are you angry? Just sit back sit back and listen to people and whether you agree or disagree with it, you don't have to argue. Everybody's bringing their experiences to the table. Just sit back and say, okay, I understand you. Let me add my 2 cents. That's all I have to say.
But what I'm saying is, I'm just saying, do you think that this act, because I believe a lot of our community, problems stems from our lack of relationship one with another, male to female.
It's a lack of respect between both gender, Tracy. It's a lack of saying to you as a woman, don't go there. I go to Diva and I'm talking to her, and she started yelling and said, you don't need a woman with opinion. And I'm like, I never said that. But there's
no
a way
Stanley.
You can come with an opinion. Wait, Tracy, that's what you said. And you said, we don't need a woman with an opinion. I'm like,
that's not what I said. First of all, and then secondly, what made me upset was you asked me a question. When I started to answer, you cut me off. So that in itself is honest. Thirdly, I didn't say that. Okay. I said you obviously don't want a woman who has her own opinion. You want someone who is a doormat who won't say anything to you or against you.
But Diva, I said no. Can you stop at that and say, he said no. I said,
do we not understand?
I said no. That's it. I said no.
Do we understand that we have a communication problem, period, and we've got to learn how to talk. We need to learn how to talk the language so the person can hear me. AABBC, your mic is on.
Hello, how are you guys doing today?
Good, how are you?
Okay, I wasn't sure if my microphone's working all right. You know, I was listening to the conversation.
Wonderful.
Thank you. I've heard Stanley before, and you know, and I'm really not trying to attack you, Stanley, but oftentimes when I hear you, I don't really, it doesn't seem like you're listening. You know, you're very passionate, you know, we'll put it that way, with what you're saying, and you don't seem to take in anything that anybody else is saying. And most often what I hear from you is, you know, it's the woman is wrong or the woman is bad or something like that. So, you know, I think if you would just kind of take a deep breath and listen in to some of what's being said, you might be able to engage a little better, and maybe there could be a little more understanding.
I've got a question for you, caller. Go ahead, Stanley.
Can I come back to you with this?
Sure.
When I say that, let's go to the basic of saying, if you don't even have the basic of saying, if I'm debating you that I say, you're having a problem in any relationship, I say the man or the woman, I didn't say just the woman, to be nice and kind, and you're debating me on that you can't even be that, we have a problem. If you don't even know that part, if I'm telling you, just be nice to the man and expect that, and she's basically saying to me as an excuse or as a point, I'm not going to be nice because I don't know what it is, I'm not going to be nice because I don't know what it is, but in my job, I have no problem being nice. Then we have a problem. Because in your job, if you're not nice or kind to your boss, you're fired.
But you understand, Stanley, this is the issue. I don't know how. See, this is where I'm coming from, and I'm sincere about this because, and I'll use my own personal relationship. While I was married, I did not realize, because I come from a single family home. I did not realize the pressures on a man at work, and especially a black man at work, and the pressures on me at work are two different things. And so when my ex-husband used to come home, he needed to decompress. He really did. He didn't need for me to start hammering him about what was going on at home, what was going on with the kids. We didn't need to go through all that. He didn't want to hear about it. And I did not realize what he was trying to say, because I didn't know that his day was different than mine, because I worked too. And I had to learn that it – pardon me?
I was going to say, that would be the problem. I mean, I've got a comment to that, but I didn't want to interrupt you in the middle. Sorry.
Oh, I'm just saying that I had to learn, and I didn't know that I had to learn that, you know, it's different. And because I did not have a father around like that, and I did not have that kind of relationship with a dad to help me redefine this or to see that relationship work, it really caused a big learning curve.
So let me ask you a question.
Hold on, Diva. On what men need and what I thought he needed. Because what needed and what he needed was two different things.
So let me ask you a question. You work, he works, because he's a man dealing with certain issues. You're a woman dealing with certain issues. You come home, you're in need to communicate. Your needs are put to the side because he can't deal with his wife right now.
It's not that he didn't want to deal with I had to talk about, but he needed to have some time before I started bombarding him with a whole bunch of other stuff, because men are not women.
Right.
And we don't sometimes realize that. Men are not women. We do things differently, and if we want him to respect the things that I'm saying to him and what I need to respect him and his timing also.
So again, exactly. You put your timing, your need for communicating to your spouse aside for his needs, because he needs time to regroup from work.
No,
women,
no, what I'm saying
we
is
don't necessarily
because,
need
no, Diva,
time.
What I'm
we
saying
need,
is I didn't. It was everything that I was talking to him about when he first hit that door was not so pressing that I had to bring it up as soon as he hit the door.
Yeah.
So women are like Energizer bunnies. We are and all he wanted to do was just let me take off my tie and my shirt. Let me go in the bathroom and decompress for about half an hour, 20 minutes. And let me
and then
let
ask
me
you how your day was.
And, the,
and,
yeah,
I
and
hear
then let me come back
you,
and deal with
what's
it.
What's bothering you? Something bothering you? Talk. Let's talk about it, baby. That's it. That's nothing.
And he did
so
not,
hard about
but
that.
When he first opened the door, that's not what he needed to hear from me.
And Diva, it is maybe as like you're saying, woman. I'm hearing you that you're mad that you, as a woman that you have to put your need outside. Don't you know the saying, "Seek first to understand before being understood"? Don't you know that saying?
Well,
I, wanna,
I don't think
caller,
that's fair. That's not fair.
I just find
I
that hilarious.
I
would never date
hold on,
anyone.
Diva, hold up, Diva, hold up. I'm
in
you,
that
I,
way,
Diva,
with,
Diva,
so.
Diva, hold up. I want to hear with A, what AABBC, what kind of name is that? The Voice. Hey, you.
It's ABC is what I go by.
Okay.
But I think Diva has a point, honestly. And I think that both of you have a point. You know, you could hold off. You could give me a minute when I step in the door. Give me a little bit of time. But on the other hand, Diva has a point, too. You know, if you're both working, and this is where I kind of jumped in when you were talking there. And I'm sorry, I didn't get the host's name.
I'm Tracy.
Tracy, okay, Tracy. I kind of made a comment while you were talking, and the comment was, and you know, I know people have some issue with this, but if both of you are working, then both of you are tired when you come home. And if your way of dealing with the day and being tired and, you know, a rough day and all that kind of stuff is that you want to talk, then yes, you know, that's as valid as his, you know, my need to come home and decompress. So it's kind of like, you know, which one are we going to do? And
why
that's
why don't we do both?
And so no,
my, point is, why don't we do both? But if what I'm saying is not important, I mean, now if the kid is on fire, then we need to say the kid is on fire and we need to put him out. And people will rise to the occasion. But if it's not important and it can wait, then we need to, because remember, we are supposed to be there one for another.
Right.
Yeah. And
that's
back.
Not what we're taught.
So what
we're
about
not, we're,
letting
we
her?
We have this is a partnership,
is,
and it's
and
not.
A, what about? But so, sometimes
a,
not about needing to have an engaging conversation. It could be about a person just getting something off their chest. You say, all right, babe, you know, I hear what you're saying. Let me take a moment, take some time. Because if you just come home and she's trying to talk to you or he's trying to talk to you and you just basically ignore them, walk off, going
no,
to the bathroom
no,
or
no,
whatever.
No, that's
no,
not what I said.
That's
not what I said. Every day
right.
when
that's
he came home
right.
from work, I was on my rant.
Yeah, but and Diva,
and
what, why
and what
can't
he
you
had, and what I had to learn was, you know, every day is not a it is not an emergency, and he needed to come home and go and just take a break. Because his day, and when I say this, because his day as a man, men do things differently. They work differently. They don't have the agility and the multitasking skills that we as women have.
What I'm hearing is,
hold on, Nina. What did you say, Eric?
If I come home from work and my wife says that a male coworker made an inappropriate comment to her. Now, yeah, I'm going to sit down. We're going to deal with that right now.
And Diva.
The female feels that something that she is dealing with is important.
Yes.
It's the man who decides whether or not it's important or not.
No, it's not. Diva, we just came with a perfect example. You have something important. Why don't you come to your man very easily, baby, can we take 2 minutes of your time, and I just want to talk to you about something.
But
that's
what's
it.
Important
that's and it. Wait, Diva. That's it. What's so wrong about doing that? That's it. That's
Billy.
The only thing you. That's the only thing you got to say. Why
Stanley,
can't you just do
again,
that?
Again, it comes down to what's important and what's not important. What's important?
No. What's important for you? You just said it. You said sometimes a woman wants to basically say things at her that she went through. That's important. That she wants to talk to communicate to her man. We just told you that, and another man confirmed it. Say if you want to do that, just come to a man.
You don't listen because
you don't listen to what we're saying to you.
We have to differentiate in within a relationship what's important and what's not important.
No, Diva.
Yes,
Diva,
because if a woman is having a bad day, then her shoe could have broke. And
Diva.
That could have been a $600 shoe.
That Diva, that's not what we said, Diva.
So if you come home, babe, my shoe broke. Oh, babe, I had a hard day at work. That's not important. That's going
to
make her feel away.
That's not what we said.
You have to ask yourself, is that really that important that your shoe broke?
To a woman who's paid $600 and might be her favorite shoe, it may be for that woman.
That's a whole other topic right there.
What I'm saying, again, guys are looking at it from your perspective.
When you tell me that.
I'm looking at it from your own perspective, all I'm saying is it's important to the other person. If you feel that what that person is going through is not important, that's where your problem lies.
That's not what we said. We don't care about what it is, if it's important or not. We just said, you come home, you have something in your mind that's important, your shoe broke and everything. Before the man comes in, he comes in and everything, say, hey, babe, how was your day? I'm so happy to see you. Can you take 2 minutes of your time? Can we sit down? I need to talk to you about something. That's all you need to say.
Stanley, I'm sorry that you have dealt with real witches in your life. They have run a number on you.
I'm not doing a burnout number on you, but that's all you have to say.
And my God.
As deep.
Hey, women as devil.
As you can.
God.
You see.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM 800-600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I've got everybody on the phone right now. I got Stanley out there. You've got ABC, and I think I'm just going to call him the voice. He just don't, you know.
Okay, now. We're there with the love music when you need him. You know?
I'm just like, wow.
Let's put on some Barry White.
$600 for a pair of shoes.
Who paid $600 for a pair of shoes?
Diva.
What else?
She said that if her pair of shoes breaks on her, that she could come to a man and talk about it. And I said, no problem, but there's a way you could come to your man and say, don't come and blast me.
I got a question.
Diva, hold on, wait a minute, guys.
I know this is a good, it was a good conversation. Diva, I got a question for you.
Yes.
If you are married and your husband says that we're trying to save up to do something, and he says he does not want you to buy anything for the next 4 or 5 months while we're trying to accomplish a goal, whether it be remodel a house or move or whatever. And you're out with your girlfriends and you see something that you want. Now, you work. Do you go and buy the shoes because it's on sale because you can't get a better deal, or do you comply with the rules of the house?
I would comply with the rules of the house.
Huh?
Then I would get somebody else to buy them for me.
Okay.
Hey, so Tracy, here's the thing, and I think nobody really wants to deal with this, but if both of y'all working, then, you know, you're going to have that conflict. It's equal. So your needs are as important as my needs. And when you bring in, you know, you presenting everything to the house just like I'm presenting everything to the house. And look, I'm a man. The way I am is I'm the head of my household. You know, I mean, that's the way I grew up. That's how I am. But I recognize that my main role is bringing home the bacon. So if you're doing that too, then you done took off half of my responsibility. So what am I going to do, you know?
Just because I got a job and you got a job.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that we have shared roles.
No, you're right. You're right.
So when I say that, what I'm saying is, to clarify this, I can make a whole lot more money than you, but you're still the head of the house, and so it's not about who brings the bacon home; it's where the respect lies.
Yeah.
So I don't agree with that part.
And
the point is, look, you got, if we're going to have a family, it's all about you. You bring the baby into the world. I mean, we do it together, but that baby's in you for 9 months. You're the nurturer. You know, you're Mother Earth. You're that.
But,
all I can do is provide for you and our family and protect. I'm strong. I'm a man. I'm strong. I protect and provide. You know, I am loving and nurturing too, but you got the baby. The baby can't live without you. You know,
that's
the home
true.
Ain't the home without you.
That's true. But the thing is, it's not a one way street. You need both, and
no,
that's
absolutely.
Where we fail.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
And Agnes,
that's my point.
We think that we can do it. See, I am woman. Hear me roar. I can think I can do it without you, and I really, really, I can get it done. But I really am not effective. Go ahead, Stanley.
Can I ask you a question?
That's what happens when you out working and I'm out working. You done took half of my role. So now I ain't providing my part the way I'm trying to provide my part. So now it's a question as to the roles. You know, you just mentioned we got different roles. It ain't better than or less than. It's just different roles.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on. South Carolina, hold on. Let me let Stanley in, and then I'm going to pick you up. Go ahead, Stanley.
Okay. I want to ask him the question. You're saying that as a man, our role is basically to bring just the money. And everything. What is the role of a woman?
She's the nurturer.
To make the home.
She's a nurturer. So if a woman stops doing the nurturing thing, which a lot of women stop doing, so what do we do as men?
Oh, my God.
Well, that's why That's why everything is messed up now. Maybe some women stop doing it because they're out there working like the men. That, you know, the roles are screwed up. Yeah,
Hold your horses. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Listen, I think he's trying to get someplace, but not quite.
Yeah,
The roles are reversed, and we equate the fact that we're making money with the fact that we're the one in charge, and that's not how it works. I don't care if my wife goes out and hits the lottery and makes $1 million tomorrow. There's still a certain structure, still a certain way that the household is going to have to run. If it doesn't, it's going to fall apart. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So no matter who's making the money, you know, you're still got to have a boss in the house. I mean, when I say it like that, people kind of like, oh, man, what you mean the boss? Yeah, you still got to have somebody that's going to get their neck cut off if somebody does something stupid.
But I think therein lies the problem. I think therein lies the problem. Now, if you have a household where the woman is enjoying her job and she just happens to make more money than the man in that job, I think you're not going to have as big of a problem. But when you have a woman who has to get out there and work and she is, because she has to work, tends to make more money than the man, then that's where you're going to have a problem, because it's like women do naturally look at men as the provider. And it, like ABC said, if I'm providing half of your responsibilities of what you're supposed to be doing as a man, it's kind of difficult for me to see you as such.
Because I'm going to break in a minute. Hold up, and I'll let you guys loose for a minute. No, Diva, I disagree. We have allowed society to tell me that now I have a partnership because he can't make more. He doesn't make as much as me. But the money that comes into the house has nothing to do with the hierarchy, the respect in the home,
or the character of the man.
And if you have a man, no matter what he's doing, if you're there to support him, he may be making less than you when you walk in the door. You may have to work. But if you work together and you respect one another and you grow your relationship and your family, then it may not always be that way. And that's something that we are losing and lacking in our side of our structure today. Because right now we think because we make a lot of money that I am equal with you and I am not equal with my man.
I don't think it's more as the money. I think it's the mindset. It's the resentment of having to do it.
But what I'm saying is, this is not new. Especially in the black community, black women have been liberated way before the liberation movement ever came along. We've been working a long time.
But But black women, it's one thing, Tracy, to work because you want to and you enjoy it.
Diva, we have never, listen, the majority of black women in America we've never worked because we wanted to. We worked because we had to, because the money was not there.
Again, and that's where the problem lies. We having to get out here and provide.
No, Diva, the problem lies is because we have adapted a societal view instead of sticking with what we knew.
Yeah, and the problem lies also. Mothers can raise girls, but they can only love their sons. And the fact that there's no father in these homes is why these boys aren't being raised to be men.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the reason the guys ain't there is because the woman is doing everything, so he's like, the hell with it. I'll just go on to the next thing.
And again, remember, society is high. Remember, when we look at integration, when we look at the quota system, when we look at the civil rights movement, when we look at all this, remember, they were doing two for. If I hire the black woman, I get a two for one.
Oh, yeah.
So now we look at society, and society has built this model, and then we wonder why we are not getting anything done.
And another thing also, I feel that women, if you're telling me that men are not doing their job and having money and things like that, I'm sorry, women, you're not doing your job to be nurturer. You're not doing that job also. And if men would have the same philosophy as you of basically being frustrated and things like that, we should all drop you too for that too.
But this is what kills me about what you talk about, Sam.
How am I supposed to be nurturing when I have to get out there and work just as
hard? Well, you're telling me my job is to have money and your job. Wait. No, you're saying my job is to be – a job of a man is not to be just money. It's to be money and to be nurturing.
No, you're supposed to be the provider.
And
whenever you ask me that you are right in, that's your role. But now I have to be provider and nurturer?
Right.
Diva, if I'm just a provider but I treat you like crap, am I still a good husband?
Oh, jeez.
That's a whole other story, man.
Yeah,
Well, the way she sounded and everything is like it's all about providing. I could bring you a lot of men who provide a lot with their women but have no character, no nothing, and they have all the money. Is that a great husband?
You're going way off on some other stuff.
He's got a point.
I'm not going way over. She said that a man's job is to provide. I'm asking you the question. A man provides, and I met a lot of men who provide, but they treat their woman like crap. Is he still a good man?
We're not talking about Stanley.
I'm trying to agree with you, Stanley. This is Alabama.
Wait, I agree with you too, Stanley.
Hold on, this is the thing though. Like, I look at it like this. The problem I see is that women, there isn't a balance because women, they look at a guy being a provider, right? And in America, we try to act like we don't live in America. They don't have as much as divorce in all these other foreign countries. What's the difference? We're more materialistic in America. We have more debt. We live above our means. And so when you're taught to live above means, you got to live in a certain house, certain car, certain way of lifestyle. And then you as a provider, you as a man can't give her that level, so she goes out and get a job. Then there's a problem. So let's just not look at it like it's just, you know what I'm saying, I'm not blaming it all on the women because it's just on us as men. And also another thing, it's not half a man's job just to bring in the check. It's not. I know you guys have been saying that for a while.
Brother,
bring in the check. Oh, no. Leadership and protection. Hold on, brother. I know you knew, but this is the thing. A lot of people look at it like that's all we're supposed to do is bring a check. That's not it. You're also a protector. You also are a leader. Like, you're supposed to be a leader, like, in all types of – if that house gets foreclosed on, the man failed, not the woman.
All of that falls under the umbrella of provider. He provides financial. He provides financially. He provides.
Well, then you're not doing half his job, then. If you're talking about just because you got a job, you're not doing half the job because you have a job.
And the woman is supposed to be the nurturer, the lover, the homemaker, the one
who. Wait, Diva, how are you supposed to?
She's the one who's become the financial.
She's right.
She's got to do both roles.
But Diva, you want more credit than you're giving. If you're a married couple, that father's a protector. How are women being a protector just because they're going to get a job? That's only part of it.
But it's part of it.
If a man molests your daughter, what you going to do, Diva?
What the hell,
Diva?
And
that's
what my daughter has to do with conversation.
And Diva, the thing is, what I don't understand from you is if a man brings all that paycheck in the world, and there's many guys who does that, but slap the living crap of this woman, you're going to be the first one saying, you're going to be the first one. Wait, let me finish my point.
I'm not talking about Man versus Batman. That wasn't what the context of my...
No, wait, Diva, I asked you precisely what's the role of the man. You told me the role of the man is to provide. And I asked you precisely the question, which is the law.
What does him being a good man or a bad man do with him being
Diva,
you go ahead, Diva.
Can I say something, guys?
Go ahead.
Okay. This isn't Diva. My name's Judy, or Crazy Amy.
Oh, sorry, Judy. Go ahead, Judy.
That's okay. Diva, I just wanted to say to you, you like question whether or not a woman is supposed to, or how is she supposed to provide for the family and be the mother and nurture the children and do the laundry and all of that above. Women do it. I do it. It's possible.
I didn't question it. What I'm saying is, Judy,
you ask,
how is it possible? Let her finish. Go ahead,
Judy. It is possible for the woman to do that. In a household, in a family, when you walk through that door, anybody that's outside of you and outside that world has nothing to say with how you run your house, who brings the money in, how much money's brought in, any of that.
Given.
There's
that's
one
given.
Paycheck, there's one bill. If the dishes need done and you're not at home and your husband can't do that for you, then he needs to step up. You need to step up and say, hey, honey, I need some help.
Exactly.
The black community
said
they do it because black women run.
Diva, she didn't say Alabama, she didn't say Stanley. She was talking to me, so let me respond to her. I did that. I didn't say that it's not possible. I didn't say it can't be done. We are talking about in a context of women and men who have a difficulty in their relationship. So when you come to asking why is there such a difficulty, well, maybe that's the difficulty because some women feel that they don't want to or can't do both. You want them to do everything and be everything.
Okay.
But yet you only 25%, or you only giving 50%, and now she's got to put in your aunt and her aunt, whatever that goes from. I'm not saying everybody, every relationship.
Hold on. So just because a woman has a job, you feel like she's doing up 50% with the nurturing, and because she has a job, she's doing 25% of what the man's supposed to do. So you're saying that 50%, so his whole job is just to work and don't go sit home and shut up.
And he goes to work and he comes home and does nothing else. But she goes to work, she has to come home, cook, clean, and take care of the children, too?
Yep.
Then, yeah, you have
a problem. Diva, you have a real simplistic way of looking at that.
Wow.
Real simplistic. You're real simple-minded on it.
Diva, I'd like to try to support you on this.
Right.
You know, everybody's ganging up on her, and you guys are, like, really defensive, like, really angry on this.
I'm not yelling at that person, Stanley, you've been talking the whole time, man.
Let somebody else talk.
Everybody's wondering about
all she was saying, and I agree with, and I said it, might have said it first. It ain't about, you know, you didn't do your job, you didn't do all this stuff. We're talking about dysfunction in relationships. Well, over half the marriages in a divorce now, everybody getting had 2 and 3 marriages. We got all, in the black community, it's 70% or something of kids born out of wedlock.
The black community is matriarchal, it's ran by women. Women are doing 100% of the job in the black community. And look at how it's failure.
Because the
look
man
at how that's the way. Look, we'll be talking about that all day.
The man wimped out. He a punk. He left. He made a baby.
Whoa. You got to look at the prison industrial complex. You got a lot of things to look at when you start talking about the black community.
I know about that.
I ain't.
Okay, all right, then, so don't just call every black man a wimp and don't talk about child support and people, brothers going to jail,
exactly,
all that other stuff.
It is dysfunctional. So we know it's dysfunctional. The question is, how did it get this way and why is it that way?
It's because people have not learned communication, a relationship, like
the conversation. So the number is 347-945-5229. And we're having an open mic conversation. Got a lot of people in the queue who don't know how. What are you, Eric? What are you talking about?
I can't stop laughing, man. That's what we're just listening to.
Wait a minute. What is going on in there?
Hold on.
Who went off?
A bomb went off during break.
No, they trying to say, they whole bunch trying to jump on Stanley, and about three guys agree with Stanley, and it just so happened that all these guys on this line agree that are married, that are in relationships, and so it's like everybody looks at it like they're ganging up on Diva. Really not. A job is 100% of a man's job in a marriage. I just don't think
that.
Hold on, guys, one at a time. Yes, what'd you say, Jeff?
By de facto, when you say that a man's
Alabama,
job
Alabama, when
being,
in the world, when in the world would your name become Jeff? Hold up.
Jeff.
We don't even know what you're talking about.
I know that.
We've been at break. Yes?
First of all, they just were hollering, and they said they were saying things about Diva, but Diva was saying stupid stuff. And that's why they ganged up on her, because they were challenging what she was saying, and she wasn't getting the challenge. But here's the bottom line.
And I was defending.
A husband is what's called a house band. He is the person that keeps the house together. And so, therefore, when you talk about all this, this person is only doing 25% of this, that's a bunch of BS, because that is not a relationship, nor is it, that has nothing to do with what a true relationship is. You shouldn't be in no mess like that in the first place.
Okay. Hold on, guys, listen, I've got too many, Jeff, wait a minute. I've got too many people on the line, so we're going to have to do this in an orderly fashion if we're going to be successful at the conversation. So you guys are going to have to please bear. Wait a minute. You're going to have to bear with me. Jeff, I'm doing other things. I shouldn't have to cut you off. You have to control yourself, and I will call you in.
It's just been 21 years.
Hold on. Go ahead, Diva. Because I guess you're saying crazy stuff. Hold on, Jeff.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to apologize because I thought the conversation was talking about dysfunctionality within a relationship and why relationships tend to become dysfunctional. So that's where my comments were coming from. I didn't know that we were talking about something completely different, to where people would take my comments and get so upset that a bomb would go off during break, and then I would be called, then people would say I'm saying stupid things or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But there you go, Tracy. That's all I wanted to say.
Tracy.
Go ahead.
My laughter wasn't directed at anybody in particular. It was just, I've been married for 21 years, so it was just like, wow, this is really what y'all think, huh?
And Tracy.
Wait a minute. Go ahead, Jeff. Hold on, Stanley.
Now, when it comes down to the people that were saying that the woman is taking up half of his job and this, that, and another.
Don't go backwards. Don't go backwards, because we have those of us who have been on break. We don't know what you guys are talking about on break. We missed it all.
You were talking about it before you went to break. So, I mean, how you not, I mean, you don't want to hear it, I won't do it. I mean, that's plain and simple. There's a lesson in what I was getting ready to say. If you're going to be a husband and a wife is a helpmeet for the man. No matter what the helpmeet is, whether it's taking care of the kids, whether it's making money, or whatever. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
It does not matter whether that woman works a job or not unless she cannot function to take care of children.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys got to agree on that.
But does all of the weight have to fall on her?
Hold on,
guys, because the reason why I said it's the function of the family. We were talking about race earlier, but I said a lot of it has to do with the societal issues and how we have bought into a lot of things in our relationships that have caused the demise with a husband and a wife and a mom and a dad to where they're no longer functioning inside of that home.
And Tracy, the thing, I just want to add this. The thing that got me mad and everything is when he made the comment on all men, because we came with a comment of saying, and I truly believe that when a woman is single and she's not doing her job as a single mother to bring that child, it's her responsibility. But the man, A.E., came back and said, well, the father decided to leave, so he's a punk for leaving. But then we came back to him and saying, wait a minute. If you're going to say that, look at the whole thing. The whole advantage of laws are for women, are not for men. That's why men, we don't have the
But Stanley, listen, before you go into the laws, because we know how you feel about how unfair it is, and a lot of them, and you know, you heard me say it, I believe that they are, and they don't hold women accountable, and I think you're right. But what I'm saying is, do you guys realize that if I have been a single parent for a period of time, and I go into a relationship, and I've been doing everything on my own, how hard it is for me to comply later on and become this wife?
But with that, there's communication that you have to have in a relationship that you begin with when you do come out of that single parenthood. And if that communication is there and the ground rules are laid out that, look, I expect the communication, I will give it to you in the same respect. And as long as that communication is there, there's nothing to argue about and there's no dysfunction. The function becomes when there's no communication and willingness to work on a relationship together. You become one, not two individual people. Most people nowadays want two different paychecks. They want two different checks.
Let her finish.
They want to be independent and single still. Well, you're not. If you're taking in a relationship, you're becoming one. Two people becoming one. And you can still be independent, but we both, male and female on that side, have a responsibility to each other, to your household, to the children, whether it's yours or not, because that's the bond and the commitment that you put towards each other.
And I agree with that, Tracy.
So no, I agree.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Go ahead, the voice.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Hey, so, Tracy, I just wanted to tell you, I think I kicked off some of this when I interrupted you when you were talking you were explaining about when you were married before and how the man, when he comes home, you know, he needs to have a minute to rest and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of interrupted you because you said you were working. And that's when I came back and pointed out that, you know, it's kind of an issue when both of you are working because, you know, now you're doing just as much as he's doing. Both of y'all come home. So, you know, you were saying I should give him some time to decompress. And then Diva said, well, you know, if your needs need to be met too. And I was agreeing with her. If both of y'all are out there doing 8 hours and doing all this, you come home, both your needs need to be met. Now, whose are met first here or there? But the point is that it's of equal value. So as much as he needs to decompress, you need your needs met too. And it's legitimate. I mean, you've been out there for 8 hours dealing with this stuff just like him. So, and that's
but again,
when this stuff started
again,
to go off.
But this is what I'm saying. This is what I was trying to get out. There is a functional difference between how a man works in a course of a day and how a woman works in the course of a day.
Yeah.
And we do things very, very differently. A woman, she actually... And you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but a woman, she takes her energy and she spreads her energy out through her course of the day and what she has to do until the evenings. man exudes all of his energy into concentrated time. And when he loses his time, he loses his energy. And he has to re-up during the course of the day for the next task. And so,
I can agree with that.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying everybody works that way, but the universal code is that's how we all function. And what I'm saying is in relationship, as African Americans, in our relationship, because we don't have the same family structure that we once had, we have not learned how to respect men because society has not taught us how to respect men, especially our men. So we boss them around, and I think Jeff and I have had this conversation before. We boss them around instead of talk to them. We don't necessarily elevate them, and then he does not know how to protect and cover us and make us feel secure to where we trust him. And a man actually functions. He's not been shown that. And if you remember, there's something called the European theory, or the European conspiracy that taught through slavery, where the black child was taught, especially the black male, was taught not to be so dominant, so that it would save his life.
Yeah.
Yet we taught our women to be more dominant because they needed to take care of. But now we're in a society where we need to actually start pouring confidence back into our male seed so that he can arise and be a man and not think that his malehood comes out of his loins but out of his brawn and who he is.
Yeah.
I have a question.
I have a question.
So if a woman, because I don't believe that a woman can teach a boy how to be a man. All a woman can do is love and do what she does, what comes naturally, is to love and nurture that boy. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't have a man in his life to teach him and guide him into manhood, how is it on that mother who is only doing what comes naturally to her, which is to love and nurture?
To be honest with herself and to realize that I need to go out and find strong men who I look at as a man, not as a roughneck, but as a man. Hold on, Diva, and ask him to come and mentor my son. Whether it be a coach, whether it be an uncle, whether it be someone, but there are men around, whether it be the pastor of your church, whether it be one of the deacons of your church, but there are men around, and allow that young man to become a man. But what we do
if you've never seen the epitome of a man in your life, how do you know what's a man?
Because we know what we admire. And I'm not talking about television admiration. I'm talking about women know what we admire. And what I'm saying is, we've got to allow that boy to be a boy instead of trying to raise him to be a wuss. We don't want him to get a boo-boo. He don't want to cut his finger. We don't want him to stump his toe. We don't want him to play basketball. We don't want him to play football. We don't want him to get hurt. Take care of my baby. He ain't no baby. He's a baby boy.
But do you understand that that's how women get hurt? It's because we tend to fall for this false perception of what a man is.
Diva, we get hurt because we fall into an ideology of what we think a man is supposed to be for us.
It has nothing
to do with him being a man. Don't fall in love with the man who's your boy's mentor. Let the man be mentored by the man.
We fall in love with this false perception of what we believe a man is.
But Diva, listen to what I said. Right now I'm talking about the young boy and the man and the male mentor. Our problem is not we fall in love because we are emotionally driven, but we need to step back and quit trying to find love and let him come find us.
Right.
And Diva, I don't agree when you're saying that, yes, it's in your nature to be loving and nurturing, but I'm sorry, women in general, you are not loving and nurturing in general. Because if you are not, men are not being men, but women, you're not being women because your mother are not teaching you to be loving and nurturing. Your mother are teaching you to make it independent, so you could do it on your own. They're not teaching you, hey, when you with a man, I ask many women and father, did you teach your daughter that, yes, you need to get a great man and everything, but she needs to bring something into the table. And all fathers and mother were shocked when I told them that.
I'm sorry that you deal with witches in your life. I'm not dealing with witches. He's right.
Yes, ma'am, hold on just a second. We are not teaching our young ladies to look for a man. Because, see, we need to be a little bit more soft and be ladies.
Yes,
just trying
you're
to
not
be,
teaching
we,
that.
We're always trying to run something. And a man wants to feel
teaching.
As though he's needed.
Yeah.
And we're not letting him give that opportunity anymore.
And I'm sorry, David, that's a fact. And when you're coming back with witches and everything, that means you're not listening.
No, because when you love
what you're saying,
hold on, David, there's another lady out there on the line.
I didn't say all women.
You know what? You guys just get on my nerves for the last time. I'm muting your mics because you guys will not comply. There's a young lady out on the line. I think she's 881. Your mic is on. Is that you?
Hi.
Is that Bonnie?
Yes, that's me. No, my name's Judy. Crazy Asian.
Hi, Judy.
You want to give a nickname? Hi.
No. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Stanley was saying about how we raise our girls to be independent, and he's absolutely right. We do. But there's a difference. I think our generation, speaking of yours and mine, because I think we're probably similar in age.
About the same.
The upbringing is different now. We have a 10-year-old daughter. We have taught her to be independent. I have taught her not to have to depend on a man because if for some reason in her life there is not that one man there that will provide her, now listen guys before you start freaking out, that will provide her with protection and security. That's what we're supposed to expect out of a man. Provide security, and to provide whatever is needed in the home that is lacking in some way. But there's nothing wrong for a girl to be independent. But also in the same respect, we've taught her. I don't know how many of you men that are married right now on the line have a wife that wakes up with you in the morning, packs your dinner, or packs your breakfast, your lunch, comes home from work, and then makes sure that you have a hot meal and clothes clean. There's not too many women that are raised that way. That's old school. It's still possible to intertwine that and still be an independent woman. But it's your pride. How much pride do you have? Women now, society teaches women that, oh, no, now you're just a slave. You're just this. You're just that because you're doing what he wants you to do. If you're doing it because you love that man, there's nothing wrong with it. And I don't think our society is teaching that. And the young women are understanding that. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
So do you guys agree with this? South Carolina, your mic is on. And the voice, your mic is on. I want to hear what you guys have to say about what she said.
I have to say, I'm not sure that I caught all of it. I was... chatting in the chat room, but just in general, you know, I think there's almost kind of too much finger pointing, and you know, maybe some of what I said kind of led to it too. But I think that a lot of it, at least from my point of view, began earlier when I just heard all the screaming from Stanley about to Diva and to everybody else about the women. And I have to say, I hear this too much on these shows. There's a lot of women bashing. And, you know, one of the guys that pointed out, I've been married for 25 years. So it ain't like, you know, I ain't got some idea of what it takes to be in a relationship. You know, we got issues in our community. And absolutely much of it stems from, you know, the history, the programming that's happened to us, but you know, as men, and I do consider us men to be the heads and the leaders, so we got to take on that responsibility. And you know, I can't stand to hear guys going on about the woman this and the woman this. You know, to me it sounds like you've given up your man, your leadership.
They
haven't
given it up. What has happened is we've stripped them from it.
Well, there's some of that.
When I say that, who said wow? Who's that?
I say wow because I can't believe.
But what it is
you
own
after,
you.
After.
You own you. You know, and that's for a woman too. You own you. When it comes down to it, it's up to you to be you. You know, and people can mess with you and they hurt your feelings and they turn you upside down, they trick you and they beat you up and all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, you own you. It's all in your head. And you know, there's this thing about what we're being taught, but damn it, after some point, you got to learn how to deal with life on your own terms. And if you're a man,
you can't cuss on here. You don't say bad words because we're on terrestrial radio and we got family audience. All right.
Okay. Tracy, can I come a comment to
hold
what
on,
you're
just,
saying?
Yes, go ahead, Stanley.
Okay, I don't understand the comment that you just said, that when we as men have complaints of things that we don't agree, it's woman bashing. But when women have complaints about things that they don't like with men, I don't hear no man say, oh, it's man bashing.
But you know, Stanley,
we don't hear women have always been catty.
Stanley,
okay?
Women have always been catty. That's nothing new. So you have to expect for women. We are weird. I mean, I was reading something online, and I wish I could find it right now, about what women want and what men need and what women need. And the list of women, what women need was a list that was 100 miles long, and what men need had to have about 5 or 6 things on it. And when you really look at it, you know, I asked a question that said, is it true? And a lot of it is true. We ask for a whole lot because we are who we are, and you got to love us for being who we are. You got to love us for being who we are.
Yeah. Okay,
but hold on.
I just want to finish my comment, okay? And coming back to the woman, what she said, I truly believe what she said, and I even told it the break. The strongest strength in a woman is your nurturing side. And I'm sorry to say, a lot of women, you do not have that nurturing side like you. You
Stanley,
have it. It is in your DNA to have it, but you don't act on it. And when I'm hearing women,
Stanley, sweetheart, the nurturing has been beaten out of us, the same way that the confidence has been beaten out of you.
I agree.
The nurturing, you know, we don't know how to nurture because it's been beaten out of us. And then those of us who were nurturers, we've gotten into relationships, and then it has been ripped away from us to where we've lost that loving feeling. And so you're going to have to, just like we've got to put up with you guys to get back the confidence and the need that you have, you're going to have to put up with us so that we can get the nurturing back. And it's
going to
be a work in progress. But what
I'm saying is, our society at large. Yeah, I'm going through it with my girlfriend. The nurturing side ain't her. I had to talk to her and everything, saying you can't act this way with me.
But in the conversation, if everything is I can't, why don't you just wait for me to evolve? I'm a better woman today than I was 30 years ago.
And this is what
I
said to my very first comment. This is the point that I was trying to get to, is that people are not just being the way that you think they are for no reason. There is something to it. It takes communication. It takes patience to get to the basically people are like onions. You got to peel back a layer at a time, and then you will see the true beauty of it. But you have to have patience. You have to have communication. Now, if you're coming at somebody, well, I'm telling you that this is what you're doing and this is how you need to do it, you're going to have a problem. That's not communicating with them. When you
say, I'm
telling you that you're doing this wrong and I'm trying to tell you this is how you should be doing it, you're going to have a problem with communication. You're going to have a problem in dysfunctional relationship.
And I'm going to just deal with people that are married. There is something about that person that allowed you to get into relationship and a marriage with them in the first place. There was something that drew you to them, and you need to decipher if it was love and or lust, because lust will never work.
True.
But you've got to trust that person, that you love that person. And if you love that person, you've got to choose to put up with the things that you didn't necessarily know about. But right now in our society, it is ripping the stronghold is ripping the family apart because we have not learned how to take time.
That's true. Because you can
to
have
learn
a,
somebody.
You can have a man cheat on his wife, and then everybody like, girl, you need to leave him. Nobody is trying to help her get through and try to keep the marriage and work through the marriage and work through that issue. It's all about, oh, you need to leave her.
But
or,
you shouldn't
man,
have
you
your business
for you.
Out, Diva.
Oh,
you
man,
shouldn't
you
have your business with your friends and your family anyhow.
True.
See, the problem is you went to, you had your problems and you took your business to your friends and your family.
Yeah, but something like that, that's kind of hard to hold to yourself.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Because a lot of times your problem is because you gave it to him. You gave your friends too much power in your relationship.
Well, it don't even have to be your friends. It could be your own. It could be your own mother, sister.
You gave your mama too much power in your relationship.
Your mother didn't marry him. You married him. So your
communication. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, again, we're getting off on some.
Hold on, guys. Hold on.
The point of the matter is that we're no longer teaching people how to work through and stick things out, especially when it comes
it's
to
not,
marriage.
Diva, that's not a
okay,
teaching,
well,
that's
I
a determination.
Okay, I said the wrong word. We're not encouraging.
No, it's not about encouraging. It's not about encouraging. It's a determination that you have to set in your own self. Because
okay,
if you want to have a successful
thing,
community.
Whatever word you want to use, that's fine, but we're saying the same thing. We're on the same page. It's about people giving up very easily. Lack
so
of communication, up, it's over, it's done. You're doing this, you're not treating me right, up, it's done. And it's either male or female. People are just walking away from the marriages very, very easily. And you have to blame society for it because we made divorce so easy. We made divorce. You could just go down and file for
divorce. Hold on. I need to go back to the voice. But in South Carolina, your mic is on also. You haven't said anything in a minute.
Well, it's hard to get through to everybody's already set. This is how I take it. As a man and as a man who thinks in terms of, you know, I'm the head of my household, and that don't mean that I'm, you know, a king running things and you got to be beneath my feet. It ain't like that at all. But what it means is that I take responsibility. I take responsibility for how we doing in this house. And I did want to make one quick comment. This whole thing, we were talking about money and stuff before. That's one of the main things. And you brought this up, Tracy, when you said that we bought into this society and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely. You know, we don't have to earn six figures. We don't have to earn, you know, $50,000. You can earn $20,000 and support a family. You know, you're going to be living meager. You got a budget. But if you focused on the family, then it's about that, especially if you got kids. You know, if you got kids, if both of y'all out there working, who watching the kids while you're out there working? You know, the daycare? Is everything cool at the daycare? And all I'm saying is it's about decisions. Life is choices and decisions. And you know, we deal with the consequences of those decisions. So, again, the whole thing with relationships and the man is the woman and the woman didn't do that. No, you know, I take a responsibility as a man for my relationships and my home. And you know, me and my wife work things out and we talk things out. And she running things. And, as far as I'm concerned, in the home, she the queen. I'm doing what she's saying. But, you know, I take responsibility for us having a roof over our head and for us having little money in the bank to do some things. And then after that, you know, people are people, man. It's always going to be something you got to deal with. But all this, you know, she the one and she the one. All this women bash. It sounds like weak men. That's what I can't get over.
412, your mic is on. Hold on, Stanley. Hey, Alex. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, interesting conversation you have. I have to say that you mentioned earlier about men being discouraged and we have to encourage them to be men, blah, blah, blah. I don't really think that's an issue because I think that men don't have a problem being men. It's just that men don't become men until they have to. And you see that over and over again. A lot of times it may just be the women. They have an overbearing mother that, you know, baby them and, you know, or never, or people in their lives that don't make them have to take responsibility for and take ownership of their life. So, you know, I just don't see that. You know, even people from some of the most dysfunctional backgrounds, guys that you would think would never turn into anything, they actually did and made something really productive out of their lives, because men don't become men until they have to become men, and that's Ooh. it's not a black thing. That's just almost a rite of passage for boys. They don't become men until they're called upon, and so or until life calls upon them, I should say.
Let me ask you this, Alex. You said that men don't become men unless they have to. So is it not my responsibility as a woman to step back and quit being a man and let him be one?
Well, part of it.
Because I'm serious. Seriously, in a relationship, don't I need to sometime and just, you know, step back and just say, you know what, I'm going to let you be the man?
Well, there's two parts to that, yes and no. See, most of the headache that I've seen from women when it comes to the men that they choose is that they're choosing men who aren't, you know, they're making bad choices. They're choosing males who aren't men. See, the thing is that a lot of times a woman, they get into a guy's life and they just take over the same role that his mother had. And so he never grows up. And I see that over and over again. And it gets even worse when they have a baby by a guy who's never taken responsibility for his life. So, you know, the first part is women have to stop choosing men that aren't responsible. It's as simple as that. If the guy is not in a responsible position, doesn't have control of his own life, then don't lay down with him and make a life with him, because you're just going to be a part of that mess. And so that's the first part. And then the second part is, you know, there was a little bit mentioned earlier about, you know, there takes time to get to know people, blah, blah, blah. You'll never get to know anybody because people are always changing. I am not the same man that I was 10 years ago, nor should I be. And I'll be a different man in 10 more years and in 10 years after that. And the thing is that this culture, the society is teaching or inculcating in people to be more and more selfish, more self-centered. And that's really the problem. We're just too selfish now. And where we don't, if someone doesn't perfectly fit into our lives, then we're very quick to discard them. And that's really the problem. You know, two people are never 100% completely compatible, but it's just we've lost our tolerance. We've lost our patience, and we've just become too selfish. And that's really what we need to work on, and that's really what relationships are about. And, yes, I'm a married man, and as the one woman was saying, my wife makes me breakfast every morning, and I come home every day to a hot meal and a clean home, and you know, and she's very independent. She does her own thing. I do my own thing, but I'm the head of household, so I'm not speaking off the side of my neck. I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. That's what I really think is the issue, you know, that's at the heart of this.
Hey, listen, I got.
Go ahead. You know what, Tracy?
I think she's in break. Alex?
Yeah.
Black women aborted all their future choices of men.
Yeah.
Now they're complaining.
Alex, can I ask you a question? You're saying that we're being more selfish and things like that and everything.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the generation that we were not selfish and people were staying in marriage for staying. They weren't even staying because they love each other. They were staying because, hey, you know what? Getting divorced is out of the condition, and they were staying and cheating and doing whatever crazy thing they needed to do. Not everybody, but some people were. When it comes to a point as a man, because we're seeing, I think selfishness is a good thing and it could be a bad thing, but it's a good thing because it brings standards. A man and a woman could bring standards in the relationship, saying, if you cheat, we're done. If you treat me like crap, we're done. Because before, if we were unselfish, we would be saying, well, you know, he cheated, let me stay. Or she's treating me like not good, let me stay, because I'm her husband. Don't you think that we need to have standards also?
Absolutely, and the same responsibility that I put on women to choose good men, men have that same responsibility too, because a man can create a lifetime of mental anguish if he chooses the wrong woman. So that's
yeah, okay. Men are making these mistakes choosing these Jezebels.
And I'll tell you what, you guys think that you can decipher a woman and you can tell what a woman is.
Well.
I'll tell you right now, as a woman, you will never ever be able to fully and truly unless you.
And that's why I call
her.
My wife is from the African continent. I'll mess with these American women. Y'all crazy.
You'll never figure us out.
Don't want to.
There
we can go down to Brazil. We go to Brazil, Jamaica, and the African continent. The pretty, original, authentic women.
My family's from the Philippines, and I was raised to be independent.
The Philippines is Asians.
Yeah,
you Asian.
But I take on my old school ways, but I'm still an independent woman. I can take care of myself and do my thing, but I've learned my mistakes. I'm in my third marriage, but we're up 13 years now. I learned to figure it out.
Philippine women like a lot of shoes.
I don't.
But Julie, coming back to what you said, I agree with what you said. It's like I feel a lot of women are mad because they say, oh, my God, I have to work and I have to take care of the husband. But that's what you're supposed to do, and they want basically men to give them trophies for things that they're supposed to do to make a marriage work. Like, man, we have to maybe work overtime and everything, and we don't come and work and say, oh, my God, I got to do this. That's what you're supposed to do
and
as
you're
a
right.
man to make it work. In the relationship.
You're right.
Because
I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I had said, you know, I wake up in the morning with my husband. I wake up 30 minutes before him. I make his coffee. I pack his lunch. I make sure that he eats breakfast before he leaves. When we come home from work, I make sure we may come home at the same time. Our hours always vary. But when I get home, I cook dinner. If he's home, he'll call me and say, hey, what do you want for dinner? Or did you start something? Or what, you know, do you want me to start it? But that's communication. The willing to
love
that person.
And I love what you said. You said you do it for love. But I feel a lot of women are saying, oh, I don't believe I got to do this. Oh, I can't believe you do this. And then they bring friends that basically say, well, you better not do this. A man shouldn't tell you to do this.
Family.
And then
why would you want to be bothered with a woman or even think about getting in a relationship with a woman that has that type of mentality? It goes back
because we don't know it until we even get married.
It comes
you
back
don't
to
know
make
it.
A comment, family. Oh, you I think that much of what we are expressing has to do with our mindset, meaning for some people a woman is supposed to cook and clean and do that. That's how we were brought up. My thinking is that whether it's the man or woman, whoever is up, cook the damn food. I don't think we should be setting a tone where a man has to kill the dinosaur and the woman has to, you know, clean dishes. I think that works for some of you.
But as we go into 2014 and 15,
we need to realize that that role thing is what creates sexism. And what we teach our children shouldn't be, in my opinion now, you could do what you want, that men are supposed to do this and women are supposed to do that, other than having a baby.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I hope you guys are going to have a wonderful weekend this weekend. Hopefully the weather's going to be really great here in Northeast Ohio. We want it. Please, if you can, come out and see us tomorrow at Victory Assembly for the Women's Rally in the Valley. It's going to be a great time in the Lord. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to fellowship together. We're going to work together. We're going to worship together. And we're going to share God's goodness. So hopefully we'll see you there on tomorrow. Talking about relationships. My relationships. And looks like, I don't know, somebody said something crazy in here because my phones are blowing
up. How you
up.
Doing, Tracy? Sunday is the most segregated day in St. Louis. But I want to ask you a question.
Pionky. Say hi. I said, how you doing? Were you the first person? Did you say something crazy during the break?
Did I say something crazy during the break?
Yeah, he did.
People pay me to come talk to them.
Because what's happening is my phone lines are now just blowing up all over the place, and so I know somebody said something just that triggered somebody, and everybody had to drop in to say something.
I said that Philippine women like a lot of shoes.
No, you said more than that.
You said more than that.
Well, I was going to say this, Tracy. What you have today, especially with black women, is that you're raising things that raising a male that you are dissatisfied with, being the makeup of the household, and black women have aborted, you know, practically all their choices of future men, being that they aborted over 18 million since Roe versus Wade. But I was going to ask the question: who gets up and cook the breakfast when you have a two male household and a two female household?
I don't know.
Whoever
I don't know.
The one who goes to work later in the morning.
Why does it have to be pinpointed on one or the other? In our relationship, it's not. It just happens to be that I happen to fall into the home before he does. So I cook.
Are you a female and male, or is it female, female? What, one of the females is considered the male?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I'm married as in a husband and a wife. Male, female.
Oh, that's
I'm just supporting the gay rights. It doesn't matter. Why do we have to put, again, a significance on what's in the house?
Yes, yeah, hold on.
Well, what happens when you marry a transgender?
Pionki, again, this is not the Pionki show. Hold up. I got too many people on the line, and I got to get everybody in. Go ahead, Jeff.
Real quick, the role of cooking was not the role of the wife or the mother or the female only at one time. It was men. If you remember the biblical stories, there was one guy that got a mess of pottage that he made for his father. Not she made, he made. The thing is we're putting too much emphasis on roles, and it is. Whoever falls back on and takes care of the family, that's what the two of you all do, is you take care of your family, whatever the heck you got to do to take care of it.
But let me ask you this, and because we only have about 10 more minutes before I'm at the end of the day. I'll let you guys stay on here and talking for the last hour. My question is, roles don't define who you are, but everything has changed because
right.
There is no longer a woman that's hold. Let me finish. And Alex, I know you're on here, and you have a stay-at-home wife. I know Jeff, you're on here, and your wife, while your daughter was being raised, she was a stay-at-home mother.
Right.
Same here.
But very, the voice, he got a stay-at-home wife.
Yes.
So some of us are trying to get back to that. But the question is, there are many people out there who they don't have that luxury and have not chose that. Right now, there's a woman who I think she teaches at Stanford, and she got beat up because she told women that you need to find your mate while you're in college because you're waiting too late to decide to have a family and to have kids.
Uh-huh.
And they're about to rake her over the coals and drag her down the street and hang her like she stole something.
I agree.
We have now gotten to the place now where we don't think that family is important. So
right.
we don't want a man telling me that I've got to stay home and have a baby and take care of the home while he goes out and works, no matter how much money he's making.
Here's the thing, the last thing, and I'll leave it alone. The idea of a woman just staying home and doing nothing but maybe just taking care of the kids is a paganistic European mindset. It has nothing to do with what's real.
That's not what when I say staying home
right.
and taking care of the family. That's I'm not talking about staying home, taking care of the family, eating bonbons, and watching soap operas all
right.
day long. What I'm saying is she is homeschooling, she is PTAing, she's sitting on
right.
boards, she's doing other things. But when I say this,
right.
see right now how when I tell you about women at workplace, I leave my house at 8 o'clock and I don't come home until 10.
See, now, Tracy, that's the difference with me. I don't have to work, but I choose to work because I like being outside of the home. But I also have chosen a job where if I want to be with my daughter and when I wanted to be with my boys, I coached them in basketball while they were growing up. They're in their mid-20s now. But I have chosen a job. I could probably do better, but I've chosen a job so that I can do both things. I satisfy me.
Mm-hmm.
I satisfy my children. And I satisfy my home, and that was
Jeff, I'm not talking about that woman who just stays home and she stays home and she sleeps on Monday.
Well,
I'm
see, y'all talking about y'all individual selves, which is unfair.
But what I'm not talking about the paganistic way of doing things, but I am talking about when I tell you I've got a job and my job's more important than yours.
Yeah, well,
that's
hold on, Stanley.
That's
no, that's mental illness, but that's how we're doing it now, because right now, when you look at the workplace right now, and you look at what women are doing right now, we're bringing more work home than we are, you know, being home with our families. We're not going to PTA meetings. We don't have time for that. I ain't got time for that. I'm busy.
And that's why you're not having children.
Right. And my husband is no longer important to me.
But could
a part of the problem that we face be that each of us is bringing our interpretation of the family and telling other people what to do? Meaning
that's
that
right.
If I come to the table and I tell you all what my interpretation is, from what I am hearing, probably 80% isn't things that most of you would agree with, but it works perfectly for my family, my children, my wife, etc. So why don't we, instead of telling people and trying to legislate what they do, why don't we do what's best for us, and then when we come together collectively, can do other things like build a school or do a movie, etc. If we get into each other's business, what happens is we'll never be at peace, because what you do doesn't work for me, and what I do in the bedroom and with my children may not work for you.
So can
I
ask him?
Hold on, Pianki. Jeff, come back in, because I want to have this with you. Because what I'm saying about staying home, I'm not just saying home in a European fashion, but what I'm saying is my conditioning today as a woman, I am woman, hear me roar, is that my family is just as equal with my job.
And, you know, another thing, in discussions like
Pianki,
this, people always want
Jeff.
To insert. Jeff,
hold on.
Jeff passed out on you.
like a disagreement at home with the normal wife. Somebody just fades out.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Pianki.
Well, what I was saying, neat discussion. Everybody wants to throw in their own personal experience, their own personal happening. Let's talk about general as it goes on in the society, either
Pianki, Pianki, don't change the subject. We only got 7 minutes to go. And
because
we've been
if
doing
I was throw my
long.
Personal, if I was to throw my personal experience with my wives, then it would be unfair.
But Pianki, we're not talking about personal. I'm talking about societal issues. If you look at our family structure right now in the black community, I started this conversation on race and racism. And when we look at race and racism, it is doing a lot to destroy our family. And when you don't have a family, you don't have a structure.
Well, we know what destroys the family, the least part of it. But,
and we are,
you know,
and
I,
are
I
we
volunteer,
not taking a societal view?
I volunteer at Boys and Gloves Club, Boys and Girls Club, and I'm there training and attending to, you know, groups of boys that don't have no father at the house. Mother,
okay.
I don't know, you know, she's probably working. So it doesn't follow in the description that you
But what I'm saying is, but these young boys need to run out and have a family, because we need family. We need fathers.
Right.
We don't need any more baby daddies.
But they don't have it.
But we've got to stop this. We've got to stop this paradigm, because it is killing our society. It is killing our community.
When you have a society that lets a 12-year-old go after the morning after, how are you going to stop it? If they try
Again,
to stop
teach
it, you
my
can be accused.
Listen, Pianki, teach my children the morning after pill is not for them.
But you
got
some parents that you
hold
said
on, on Pianki. Listen, if the father is in the home, and I'm watching this happen with several of my friends. If the father is in the home and he is the head of the house, he is that man in the house, and he is cultivating that young lady, then the conversation that's going on outside the home is not about who she's going to go find to love her. But she keeps her legs closed, so she ain't got to worry about the next day pill. But
yeah, well, let me ask
that
you
father,
a question. Suppose the mother and the household don't choose that.
So what did you say? Hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. Pianki, it's because the mother in the household don't choose that.
Suppose the mother in the household, who's a citizen of the United States, Don't choose that.
Don't choose what?
What you just described.
Again, if you have a strong father and a strong husband and a strong man in the house and the order of the house is correct as it should be, if the dad says that we're going to raise our children a certain way, then that's how we are going to raise them, and we speak as one, not as a democracy.
That's the exception
where we take
rather
a vote.
Than
right.
calls, Tracy. Next.
No, no, no. We've got to, that's what I'm saying. We've got to quit putting this worldview into our home. And we need
Who
to go back
we?
To the nucleus of the family.
You mean to tell me we're supposed to shape the attitude and shape the desires where American citizens
who
want to go?
Who else
it don't work
no
more
I'm
like
taking,
that.
I'm involved in my home. In my home, in my family, we make these decisions. And no matter what the world says, this is the decisions that we make, and this is how we live.
What?
And we
need
to go back to
your
that.
Home. You wanted 39 million.
Basically, any perfect family, I don't care whether the daddy and mama's there, they're married or whatever, because I've seen examples with two parents in the household where their kids turn up dysfunctional
right.
and done things that you only thought would be subjected to kids who are raised single.
Can
I
tell you something, Diva?
I am a single mother who raised three
Diva,
girls
can I tell you something?
Running around as sluts, having
can
babies.
Can I tell you something, Diva? Can I tell you something, Diva? Let me tell you a secret. If you want to see the functionality of the house, look at the fruit that falls from the tree.
Yes. And that's what my mother taught me, Tracy.
Exactly.
Boys
so it
looking
really
for a
has
wife
nothing to do
for,
with
for women.
Diva, you missed what I said. If you want to see the dysfunctionality of a house, look at the fruit that falls from the tree. And I promise you,
yeah.
if the fruit comes bad from the tree, you will find that there was hidden dysfunction in the house.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. Get what you're saying. And
at
I agree.
Day, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on Monday. God bless.
So why you get a telephone number out and you're getting ready to go off?
I know. No one.
That's from
remember.
A dysfunctional family.
Yeah. Hey, Bianchi.
I agree what she's saying, but
hey.
The fact is you will find dysfunctional families, whether they're
right,
two
yeah.
parents or
right.
a single
when
parent.
Right.
201.
Yeah, you're right, Diva.
Okay, Diva, I was raised by a single mom, but let me tell you what my mother used to tell the little girls in our neighborhood, and she used to tell the boys, meaning me and my brother and the other boys. It's real simple. By the time, forget role models, forget role assignments, forget gender roles and all that. That's too late. That's later down the road. It's who you select. Then you negotiate the rest. Here, real simple. She used to tell the little girls, when you're thinking of about a boy, go see how he treats his mother. Because
yep.
if you don't like the way he treats his mother, honey, you ain't ever going to get better than that.
My mother said
well, you know, in my family,
for the women,
we do, back,
for women,
we
for
do
guys
background
select,
checks.
Yeah, and for guys selecting a woman, she said, go there to that girl's house and
mm-hmm.
see how she fits into the family dynamic. Respects her father if he's not there, how she respects the mother authority, how she relates to the siblings, how she steps up to take on some chores. Because she's self-identifying
mm-hmm.
her role, she will be a partner to you in life. Those are the simple formula of my mother. Everything else comes afterward. But if you don't like what you see while you're window shopping, don't buy it and take
exactly.
it.
Right on.
That's what my mother
background,
said. The same thing.
Background yeah, checks and prenups is mandatory.
Oh, definitely.
My family. My grandson will not marry a woman that's not done a thorough background check and she signed prenups.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do nowadays.
Yeah.
Of course, unless you marry somebody from Africa.
Well, my next
when we look back in the past and we discuss, you know, our elders, I'll give you an example. My mother's father was a playboy, and the women couldn't keep their legs closed for him. Now, fast forward to today, people use examples that the past was, we kept our legs closed. No, we didn't. People just didn't get divorced as much. If you look back at the Bible, there was cheating going on. If you look back at the Quran, the Torah. So we can't think that the penis is going to change. What has to happen is we have to look at the bigger issues, and there are other factors in a family besides fidelity. There's also political pressure. There's sexism. There's racism. There's a lack of jobs. There's so many factors. I think often if we have a very religious foundation, we put all the stresses on one side without taking into account so many other variables that come into play.
But I also think that people look at their dynamic and say, oh, my dynamic was so great, it should work for everybody. And
mm-hmm.
I, New York, you hit the nail on the head when you said what works for you may not work for me or anybody else. Because when I look at my upbringing versus someone else's, I know, upbringing who was raised in a Christian home with two parents. I got a broader education of the world and how to be a woman and was ready for society. This person was not and struggled. And I see that constantly, and it can flip and flop either way you go. So you can't just say, oh, a single-parent household is the dysfunction of our society and is the problem. No, you can't say that. You can say how we as people tend to treat each other. That's the dysfunction of society. We have no longer gone to go about caring for one another, being considerate towards one another. We take our own personal experience, and then we want to cause arguments in this and cause arguments in that, not have a understanding, not come to an agreement, and such things, and it's just ridiculous.
But
yet we
want
to blame it on one side rather than the other.
Mm-hmm. When did it go on in this country? Ask the Native Americans, was there consideration about one another? And they end up on reservations.
But they still have consideration for their own people.
But they don't want to end up on reservations.
No, I'm pretty sure they did want to end up on reservations, just like black Africans didn't want to end up in chains and become slaves and their family sold off.
Yep.
How are you going to have consideration for somebody and you're hanging by your neck?
Because you cannot hold people to the past. What is the past? The past is like, I don't hate every white person because of the past.
Hold people to the
my
past.
My generation is not that far removed from slavery. My great-great-grandparents.
It doesn't have to be slavery. How about the IRS who just took this lady's tax refund based on something her mother has done when she was a child? So you say you can't hold people to the past. It happens all the time.
It's true. I mean, with the IRS, and that's the same with
the difference
with spouses and wives. I mean, the IRS is taking money from the spouse's return, or will they file jointly, and they send a return, a letter saying that they're taking money due to this reason, but won't tell you what the reason is, but it had to involve the wife.
Well, what does the IRS have to do with personal relationships among each other?
It has a lot to do with it. They hold
not.
You to something that happens
but
in the past. You just said
you
it didn't.
You have no bearing or effect on me or our relationship.
It does, too. You married, you entered a contract. It wasn't about love. It was a contract that's recognized by government and courts.
That is true. But also in the same respect, that contract was between you and he that you've married, that you would respect, love, and take care of each other and be one. So you have to look at it at both ways. I mean, I know our government wants to stick their nose in everything that we do. They want to regulate everything that we do. That's what our society is becoming. That's what they're trying to turn it into. For us to change our younger generation is going to take decades, just like it took decades for our generations now to have changed from what it was. There's no way we're going to be able to invert it back to equality.
Well, I don't think you're ever going to do it, because now you got a woman that's marrying a man, find out he's a transsexual. So
I just had that conversation this morning with a lady. That was really weird. I mean, you can't change society anymore. All you can do is share your experiences. And the person that's going to take it is either going to look at you and say, wow, it's really worked. They've been married for 13 years. They've been married for 25 years. And it's worked for them. Maybe I can incorporate that in my lifestyle.
See? Nope. That's the problem. People looking
no,
at other people's marriages and other people's situations and
right.
think,
well,
that's going to work for me and my significant other or my spouse. Nope. How about you just be yourself, true to who
right,
you are,
but
and be honest with your significant other.
Right, but that's
and I can tell you, that the black community, I'll speak because I'm black and I deal with a ton of black folks. The same groups that are talking about transvestites and gay people are not adopting. You don't see a church stand up and say, oh, those people are bad. Let's go and adopt some children. So we have a double standard. We talk about the transvestite gay community. But then when the kids, hundreds of thousands of black kids, are going to age out of the system, the same people checking out people's pants to make sure that they're not jerking off or having sex with the same sex, aren't adopting children, so we're kind of hypocritical.
Yeah.
True. Now, Diva, you were saying how, like, that's a problem, because what I was trying to say was, if what you're doing now isn't working, but you've seen examples of respectful relationships, then why not try it to try and make your relationship work? Maybe there's something different that they're doing. If your husband isn't talking to you and he's not telling you what's wrong, or you're not telling him what's wrong, you know, if that communication isn't there, but you want to hang on to your relationship, then maybe you need to take that extra effort and say, well, maybe if I do make him feel a little bit more special, maybe if I do put that lingerie on tonight.
Yeah, but how long is that going to... Here's my thing. You're emulating what someone else is doing, trying to fix it to make something better. How long will that last? Now, if he starts talking to you again, do you...
Sorry about my noise here. I'm working.
So it's
if
you're doing that to get him to talk to you, or you're doing something to get her to talk to you and try to make things better for the moment, does it stop? Possibly it could stop and end because you have gotten what you needed. You've gotten what you wanted in that moment. Is that truly who you are? I think that's the problem we have with relationships now. People are not showing who they truly are, and then people...
Right.
Seeing someone and getting into relationships they're not compatible in. I give you a case in point. I was watching Grey's Anatomy last night.
Okay.
There is a couple, Jackson Avery, who is very wealthy. They're doctors or surgeons, and April Kepner. April Kepner is a believer. She's a strong believer in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that is central to who she is. Now, it turns out Jackson has always professed that he's agnostic or atheist. Well, the only compatible thing, they were not really compatible or suited towards each other. They were attracted to each other. The chemistry drew them together. Now, she met a young man who was more compatible to her, but her lust for this other man caused her to leave the one man that was right for her at the altar and marry the other guy. Now, they're fighting, and she can't understand why their marriage is not working. Well, because you weren't true to yourself and you weren't true to him. You're expecting him to be what you want him to be. You're expecting him to come along with your faith and agree with your views, and you don't want to accept him as who he is. See, two people who are not compatible should have never been married, get married, and then they have a dysfunction, and then they wonder why, and then that dysfunction spreads, because then they end up divorced, and then their kids suffer from it. That's what we have in society. We have people in dysfunctional relationships who should have never gotten together, and they can't.
Sure.
But they can't see it.
And what we're also missing is what's called a marriage test. We have to get a test to get a driver's license. But two people can just see each other shake and dance on the dance floor and decide to get married, produce children, and then have a war zone. We take marriage very lightly, I think.
Yeah.
And until we say, look, you don't know my favorite color, you don't know my favorite type of music, then how in the world are we going to talk about children and what my objectives are in business or in life? When do we figure that out? 10 years in, when we start swinging blows and the police come?
Yeah.
They have to be more serious. But I'm also concerned that the government itself decides who can get married. I think we put sometimes too much on the government. Then the slippery slope is when certain groups need the government, for example, black people or females, then other people argue, well, you don't want the government in marriage, so why you want them now? But it's all connected, the family, the children, the gay issue, the church, the atheists, but we just, I think, want everybody to listen to our view and not give them the right to be free to just express themselves in a democracy, you know. For whatever. If they want to marry 10 people, let them marry 10 people. It's not hurting me. I got my own action, you know, with my wife. I don't care.
True. Very true. But then, you know, you just moved to Utah.
Yeah.
Become a Mormon. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're never going to be able to change society. It's never going to happen. It's going to take decades. We'll probably be passed and on before we even see a difference.
And I think the reason why we'll never be able to change is because you have people who think they know what's best for other people. And trying to fit our society into a box, you can't do that when you have a constitution set structure such as ours. You cannot fit society into one box. Two, what I think what works for me will work for you. And I think that my way is best, so you have to live according to how I live.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they start to structure our laws to fit that.
Yeah, that's true, too. You know, I mean, people come, our close friends, we're all married, except for one. That's because he can't find the right woman. He's very picky and choosy. He's been in several relationships, which is good, I guess, because all of his relationships have failed and all those women have become crazy. But when our friends have troubles, like you said, women come to each other and they talk about things. Women do. Men do. Me and my husband, we talk about everything. And we know everything about each other, our friends' relationship. But our friends don't know their spouse. You know what I mean? They don't talk to each other. That communication isn't there. And they ask, how do you do it? We talk. We talk? Yeah, we talk about everything. We talk when we get up in the morning. We talk when we're at home. We talk before we go to bed. We talk in bed. We talk. Communication is the only way a relationship is going to really work. Communication.
Stop doing sex, too. It helps.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
The thing is that I'm starting to see people, Maya Angelou said it best. When people tell you who they are, believe them. But people don't want to believe what a person is showing and telling them. So especially with women, we get with men and we think, oh, I can change that about him.
Uh-huh.
When he's 16, 17, yeah, he still has a lot to grow, a lot to learn. But when he is 26, 27, 30, 35, 43.
You see his true colors at that age.
Exactly. There is nothing that you can change. He is who he is, and the same goes for men, and the same goes for women.
Well,
they are who they are. And then it's like, okay, well, she or he's fine. I could probably deal with that. And then later down the line, you realize, oh, I can't deal with it. Why is it so hard? Why? And then you're left bitter because of the person you chose to be with.
But that's why they shouldn't be married.
Exactly.
You know, it's okay to be in a relationship and question it, because a relationship, there might be lacking in that one person's personality, but becoming a couple might alter it. Because, whatever the case may be, but we as people, it's normal for us to change and evolve. We're always going to change and evolve. I'm hoping by the time I'm 80 years old, I'm going to be the happy, less bitter old woman, smiling in my rocking chair watching my grandkids. You know what I mean?
But doesn't this also tie into communication, which seems to be a theme here, meaning the sooner we get children in schools communicating about religious differences, ethnic differences, sexual preference differences, then what you end up is with an adult population who are more aware that, hey, the guy sitting next to me now to have children. Like, I have a brother. He doesn't want to have children. He doesn't want to get married. The girl sitting next to me, she was lesbian. Or the one next to her is Chinese, but she's into African religion. Wow, you understand? We get into these boxes, and then everyone else is supposed to fit our box, and the group that typically is the one that usually does that are the extremely fundamental religious groups. I find the people that are most open-minded usually are not in those types of Judeo-Christian mindsets. But my Jewish and Christian and Muslim friends, not all, but most, when I approach them, they already have in stone what's supposed to happen. Well, you're supposed to do this, the woman's supposed to do that. I'm like, but wait a minute, you don't even damn know me. Your marriage isn't working. How are you going to tell me what to do?
The disdain for homosexuality came out of ethnic groups culture. It wasn't had anything. Religion come out of ethnic group culture if we want to look at things from historical perspective. But yes, I agree. We should respect individuals as being who they are. But that don't mean you have to associate with them. A United States citizen has the right to associate or disassociate with whomever they please. You know, I often comment about in Georgia where they was having all-white proms. And you had groups that was having proms outside of the school district. It's nothing wrong with that. If the people don't want to associate with you, then they got a right to do that. When someone look at another person in that particular manner and think it's something wrong with them, it's actually something wrong with you. Why come you can't understand that people want to be with their own like kind and they have a right, legal right, to do so?
Bianchi, I have a question for you. Did you grow up experiencing the hardships of Jim Crow and the lifestyle, the life prior to Jim Crow? Did you experience any of that?
What does that got to do with it?
Because it's easy for us now to sit here and say, well, people have the right to not associate. It's more than just not wanting to associate. It's about you lauding your power over a minority group and using that power to disenfranchise people. It wasn't just about, oh, they're having separate
bonds.
That's
not true.
What does that represent?
Jim Crow and de jure segregation was breaking the law. It was done because the law was not being enforced. People's rights was not being protected by law authority. It has nothing to do with our emotional feelings.
The reason why I asked that question, Bianchi, was because if you experienced anything like that, then you wouldn't sit here and say what you're saying. Because,
I would. I experienced associating and disassociating from those who I wanted to and those who we did not want to.
But you had a choice, right? You have a choice in a matter of whether or not you want to associate with certain people.
The Constitution protects you from local, state, and federal government imposing laws upon you that take away your rights.
Okay, Bianchi, I see there is no point in having that. Okay, you know what? You're entitled to your opinion, and that's fine.
I'm quoting the law.
Okay,
it's not an opinion, it's the law.
Because even though the law, we know from experience that because they make laws doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
So
it's not about right and wrong, it's about the law. Right and wrong is subjective. What's right for one person.
Right or just law.
Same-sex marriage is right here, but it's not right in Iran. It's not right in Nigeria. It's not right in my favorite country, my wife's country, Ghana. So right and wrong is subjective.
Okay. All
right. Right and wrong are not subjective. What you mean is that the way humans interpret laws are subjective, and also the laws we make are subjective, but there are certain universal principles that have to do with, for example, pain. Someone causes you extreme pain. That's a wrong. If someone does something to your family that negatively impacts your ability to live on your land, that's wrong. Even if a book or a man-made publication or even a religious publication said that should be your land, that doesn't make it right, I think.
Well, a religious, you know, you're talking about in context of the 1948 Balfour Agreement with Palestine and Israel. I agree with you. That's totally wrong. They had no damn business invading those people's country. And that was the Bible's not the law, and not in this country anyway. It wasn't the law based on United Nations, which was the League of Nations at that time. But as I said before, people have a right to associate and disassociate with whomever they want. You don't see ducks. Mama Duck don't send her baby ducklings to alligator school. Because it's dangerous.
You're right, Bianchi. That's like if you and I were to live in the same city or same area, I probably would not associate with you. That's my right as a person that I would not want to have any type of friendship or relationship with you, okay? However, when you promote a culture.
It's very difficult for me to talk to you on the telephone.
And it's very difficult to talk to you, and that's why I would choose not to want to associate with you on a personal level. However, when you are promoting
culture, but I would still respect
culture,
you as a United States citizen.
When you are promoting a culture, when you are supporting a culture that promotes hatred, bigotry, racism, and separates people and thinks and makes it okay to separate people based on their on the color of their skin. I'm just sorry. I don't know
it
how
has
what
nothing to do
that you can say.
It,
well, that's
you know,
right.
Prejudice and discrimination, your so-called bigotry, is nothing wrong with those as long as you don't violate an individual's or United States citizen's civil rights.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're basing
you
much of your
want.
Argument on a constitution that was created by slave masters who were also sexist living on stolen land. You don't think that's kind of a shaky ground to stand on?
Well, you know, that same Congress... That same Congress, and matter of fact, the majority of them was Republicans, came up with the 14th Amendment to circumvent the Dred Scott decision, which said that a black man has no rights that a white man is bound to respect. So yes, when the Constitution was drawn up, it was drawn up by white males at that time, which they had a perfectly right to. If blacks was today go someplace. Now, let's say the Chinese was today, go someplace and find a land and want to cordon it off. They got a right to draw up their constitution as they
That's
see
not
fit.
True, though.
But
That's
why?
Not true.
Why? I don't
I mean,
understand.
South Sudan done it.
It's unbelievable. You're saying that if a group goes into a foreign land, takes the land, that invading group then has a right. I don't know where your logic. I don't know where
you. You know what made them have the right? Because they had the military power to do so.
You don't mean the right, you mean the power. That doesn't mean I have
that's
rights.
That's two different things.
Power is from having a right, an inherent right to something. So if I have a bunch of bigger guys and I come to your house and I decide I want your stuff that's in your house, then you would defend my right to just take your TV and your cell phone and your sneakers? No.
Well, where's the written right that says that they don't?
You're using the word right in the wrong way, or you're using it maybe to be provocative, but it's inappropriate.
Well, as I said before, inappropriate is just a matter of your suggestion. It may be inappropriate for you, but it's not inappropriate for me.
No.
Okay,
it's,
so
Mr.
I would
Cobb,
be right if I come with
when,
some guys I know from New York and come to your house and take your stuff, then you would say, I would be right, R-I-G-H-T.
No, but I have a right, according to the Constitution, to bear arms, whether it's concealed carry or whether it's open carry, to protect my personals.
Yeah, but
I believe in that also.
If him and his goons overpower you because they have more power than you do,
you up and
they have the right
throw you out the window. We
have the right to you because they overpowered you.
Yes.
Yeah, well, at that point in time, I'm supposed to have a law that's supposed to protect me, right?
That's
but it
true.
Doesn't protect you, and you're overpowered. Some of your points really contradict.
Well, we can
each
take
other.
Scenarios. Well, then maybe I can call on God, and He'll send a bolt of lightning down and strike them.
See, this is why I don't.
Okay.
I just say, Pianchi, okay, Pianchi.
Yeah. I think he likes to argue.
It's just
no, I don't like to argue. I like to dispel foolishness. Sometimes I hear people talking about.
What things that you say are irrational?
For instance, like
it's
you know, let's get back to this thing. Let's get
no
back sense. To this thing with the all white prom. You had blacks that just said something is. I mean, this just we got to march to stop this. That was a waste of time. Leave those people alone. They're not violating nobody's rights.
What's
they're
the
not,
purpose of even segregating the proms when they went to school and shared the same classroom together? Well,
because
that
they
not,
because just
was,
like
was
you don't like to share your bedroom
school?
Maybe with other people, maybe they don't like to share something that they perceive that's precious to them.
No, they didn't want their white children
party.
Intermingling in a intimate setting with children of another race. It wasn't even the children who really wanted that. It was the parents who decided that they were going to have a whole separate prom.
Well, do not parents supposed to know what's best for their children?
Because of the mindset of the parents, the school would not because the school cannot hold segregated proms under the law. But because of the mindset of parents, they just decided not to hold a prom whatsoever. So the parents took it upon themselves to hold segregated and invitation-only proms on their own. Well, it came up to students. Nobody else but the students decided to go against that because in 2012, you had students who decided to host their own integrated prom. So then the school decided, you know what, this year we're going to host Integrated Prom. These kids go to school together. They sit in the classroom together. They're on sports together. They're on club. They're in clubs together. Why hold a segregated prom is what I
understand. They still, in 2014, they still had the same prom that they have been having off school property amongst themselves.
And, well, and if that's the case, then that's just a party. It's not a prom. It's a party because it's not regulated by the school. So they want to call it a prom, but in actuality, it's just a party.
Right. So now that the school is holding integrated proms, the only problem I had was the school not wanting to get involved in the situation because of the mindset of the parents previously. But the students pushed the issue. When the students push the students who are there to learn, it is the students who have the right to set up
the event, right?
Well, there's all black proms going on all over the country. St. Louis Public Schools in my Normandy School District in my community had all black prom because there's no white kids that go to the school district.
But that's very different. Oh my goodness, that's a totally different situation.
That's the way, but if you draw the picture, that's the picture. What's wrong with the picture? My grandson never did go to integrated schools until he got, he's still then. My daughter did, my grandson. My grandson goes to all-black high school. 98% of them go on to higher education.
My boys had no idea when they were growing up. They're 26, 25, and 22 now. When they were growing up and they were young kids, they didn't know what their nationality was. I didn't teach them that. I taught them our heritage. I taught them the things that we do. This is our family traditions and this and that. They didn't learn.
Your family tradition is very valuable to you.
It is.
Hey, when I came up, we was told not to marry white women. I taught my kids that.
My kids
so
didn't.
That's don't I, do I know? Do I not know what's best for my children?
But your children know themselves as well. So when they grow up, if that is something they choose, then that's something they choose. They become adults. They learn to make their own decisions. You can't change what they want to do.
So we can't have an argument. We can't have an argument in one case and blame professional blacks for not coming back to the community and giving back, whereas you don't want parents to tell their children what to do and what not to do. So something's wrong with the people that look at that and say it's something wrong themselves.
What about them having that party?
Well, yes. I mean, if we want to blame professionals. You're going to blame professional black African Americans for not coming back into community and spending time with the less fortunate children. Well, then how can you tell a parent that they have no right telling their child who to marry? Should the parent have told the child, hey, look, when you become a professional and you become on high standards, that you're supposed to bring those skills and your time back in order to help those who are less fortunate? I mean, we can't have it both ways.
You can't have it both ways, but
is a black financially successful or educationally supposedly successful person not coming to the hood, which they should, related to two people getting married of different?
It's because the expectations that you have. People blame them for not doing it, yet and still, when the parents tell them the things that is dear to their traditions, then people blame the parents for teaching their kids that too.
You can teach their tradition all you want, but again, same thing. It doesn't matter because they're going to grow up to be their own person, and they're going to make the decision on their own whether they want to. If they have
I agree with you. But you know, there's nothing more empty than getting to the point in life where you say, "I wish I had a cover all the bases." Mm-hmm. You know, between the time that child was born and the time that child is grown, then you can't say that. Well, I didn't do what I was supposed to do.
Right.
Well, there's a valid question you raised earlier, and that was, who has the right to tell a parent what to do? Shouldn't a parent know best? And that's actually a great point, because in many cases parents don't know best, meaning the children raising children, et cetera. And on the flip side, often governments don't know best. So it leaves me with the impression, well, maybe it's time
as a nation and as a planet to take time out to reassess constitutions, to reassess family structures, et cetera, because we often go on different paths and then expect to come together when we haven't even, as a community and family, talked. What I mean is we're all coming to this table with different opinions, but what in the Constitution have we had the opportunity to change? What in religious dialogues have we had the opportunity to change? And I just get the impression nothing, so we all end up in corners, you know, with the blood.
Well, it's all right for people to end up in corners. What's wrong with people in a bus? Yeah, another point. The government enters the picture because the government is responsible for the sanctity, or should I say the innocence of the child. That child was born a United States citizen, and even a parent cannot denounce a child's citizenship. Only that child can denounce his or her citizenship. That child has to be protected by the laws and regulations of the state and the country that it's born in until it gets on its own where it can make those decisions itself. So if you are parents and you use corporal punishment, well, you know, the government has a right to observe how you do that. If you get to the point where you are harming the child physically or mentally and so forth, then the government has a right to step in because that's a United States citizen who has innocence that's supposed to be protected by the law.
All right. Hey, folks, I'm headed to BJ's. Got to pick up some stuff for my family. It's a pleasure talking to you all.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being considerate,
thank
and you guys have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.